Good afternoon and welcome to President's Football Preview, heard prior to Washington and Jefferson College football here on WJPA. This afternoon, it's homecoming at Cameron Stadium as W&J hosts Carnegie Mellon. Hi, I'm Mark Uriah, and we are going to first speak with W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, just a quick note or two about Waynesburg. We've kind of sung the same song the first 3 weeks in terms of how these games have gone, the way you would have wanted them to start out, start strong and take control right away.
Yeah, I mean, again, we didn't punt. The only time we stopped ourselves was a turnover in the first half, so I was happy, obviously, with the way we played on offense, minus a couple turnovers, and you know, our defense bent a little bit, gave up a touchdown, which is okay. We're going to give up some points, but with the touchdown we gave up was on a short field. Gave up a field goal, but for the most part, we played really well. We were able to play a lot of kids again. We were able to get out of the game pretty healthy.
Talk about the lightning delay. I don't know how many times, if ever, as a player, I don't think as a coach here, that you ever have had to go through that.
No, I've never have, and it was interesting because there was an article on ESPN that week about all the lightning delays in Division I and how teams were handling it. And the funny thing, I read it, and immediately I sent our student coach, Carter Santos, to the grocery store and got peanut butter sandwiches and fruit, because I didn't know it was going to last 5 minutes or 2.5 hours, which it did. So we went and got the guys food and fed them, and now with the new technology that we're allowed to watch, you're allowed to watch the game with the tablets, we were able to really watch the whole first half and how they played us and different things. So that was, and I'm sure they did the same thing too, but those were two big factors in us coming out and after the delay and playing really well.
And I imagine that is not an easy thing to do, especially as a player. I mean, you get, you're out there playing, so you're fast and you're loose, and then all of a sudden you got to wait for a long time. It's got to be tough to get, I know they give you time to do so, but it can't be easy to get your body back, shut it down and then get back to ready to play again.
No, it's not, and they gave us plenty of time to warm up, but both teams had to handle it, and both teams, it's not like they were playing and we had only go off the field and for a lightning delay, so they had to do the same thing that we had to do, and I was just proud of the way that our young man handled the situation.
Jake Pugh, 6 touchdown passes. I don't care if you're playing, as they say, against air, that's hard to do.
I mean, yeah, we run an offense where he's going to be able to put up those types of numbers. I mean, again, everyone like, well, they're an air. We're an RPO offense, so we take if people are going to put people in the box, if you're going to roll people down, if you're going to pinch inside, we are going to pull run plays. And because if you've seen it, we've gotten called for multiple legal man downfield, which is part of the way we play. I understand that's going to happen. So a lot of his touchdown passes are off plays that could possibly very easily be runs. But from right now, what is happening is the defense is saying, okay, go ahead and pull the ball or go ahead and I don't understand why. You have to ask the other coordinators, and we're getting a bunch of touchdown passes. That could change with the way that the teams play us. But right now, Jake's taking advantage of that.
Talk about since you brought it up, the ineligible man downfield penalties. What are linemen looking for in that situation? I mean, that clearly puts them in a little bit of a difficult spot.
Well, you can't get mad at a lineman. Well, let me put it, you can, but, you know, they you can't really get mad at them for getting a call. Obviously, the NFL rule is much different. They're allowed a yard and a half. We're allowed 3, and they give us some leeway. So what we tell our guys is, hey, if you notice that a linebacker's leaving, or don't chase him, try to get back. That being said, that's so hard for them. As if you notice that the ball is thrown, run back, okay? And so maybe the official doesn't see. But that being said, again, we're going to be engaged. And if a young man is engaged as a blocker and he's 2 yards downfield and he's finishing a block at 3, 4, 5 yards, technically that shouldn't be a penalty, but it's going to get thrown. So like I said, I'm okay taking the 1 or 2. We had 2 against Teal. We had 1 last week, a game with the way we play. If the NCAA came out and said, hey, we're going to change the rule like the NFL rules, or if they said, you know, we're going to regulate it more, then that maybe that changes our thoughts of what we're going to do. But they haven't. So we're going to continue to be that style of offense, which if you turn the TV on any time on Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, that's exactly what you see all over the country.
John Peduzzi blocked a punt, and I was a little bit surprised to see that that he would be playing on punt return team or rushing the punter. Just talk about the decision to have him do that.
I mean, a punt to me, is the number one play in the game. And hopefully it doesn't hurt us today because Carnegie Mellon will come after our punter. It's a game-changing play. It's the play we practice. What do you practice the most? We practice punt the most. And we have only punted 5 times this year, and we still rep it numerous times a game. You want to have your best players in there both on punt return and punt, because obviously on punt, you know, you don't want to give up a block. You don't want to do anything like that. So you'll see people like Justin Johns and Zakai Simmons and Zach Cernuto and Ray Holmes on our punt team. Then punt return, we want to go after the ball and try to change the game around. So then there, in that instance, you're going to see Paduzzi this week. You're going to see McCosko. You're going to see Kobe DeRosa. You're going to see our good players on there. And Carnegie Mellon does the same thing. It's such an important part of the game.
More with Mike Sirianni on President's Football Preview when we come right back. Don't fall behind on your home improvement projects. Let First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County help you with the heavy lifting before winter. First Federal gives you all the tools you need with FHA Title I home improvement, home equity, construction, and owner-builder loans. With offices in Washington, Greene, and Fayette counties, your loan stays here. Apply in person or anytime online at ffgc.bank. First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, and MLS 458-729.
Rich Eisen here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long as we get you ready for primetime NFL action every Monday night. Along with Kevin Harlan, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner, and the entire Westwood One team, we'll take you inside the locker rooms and the stadiums for exclusive previews and all the play-by-play action. Every week on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Back on President's Football Preview, W&J getting ready to take on Carnegie Mellon this afternoon here at Cameron Stadium. We're talking with President's Head Football Coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, let's talk about Carnegie Mellon. Before we get into some of the deeper things, the overriding thing is the fact that it came out a couple of weeks ago that Carnegie Mellon is leaving the PAC after this year. Does that add anything to today's game in your mind?
No, I mean nothing. I mean, they had to do what was best for their student-athletes, and I have really no opinion on that.
Let's talk about a similarity. You have a lot of fifth-year players. They have some, too. And I, you know, looking at their two deep and, you know, just names that I'm used to seeing, and, you know, there are probably some people that look at, you know, that look at W&J's two deep and say, my goodness, is that guy still there? Well, you could say the same thing about a couple of guys on Carnegie Mellon's two deep, and obviously a couple of those guys are really good players.
Oh, yeah, they have those twin brothers, and the one has been a multiple All-American. You know, I think on defense they have 5 fifth-year players, and offensively they have their quarterback and their receiver and one of their offensive linemen. So they have more than we do, but, you know, they announced that, and we kind of figured that was going to happen, And that those kids on their team and our kids on our team that love football so much, they just want to finish their career. That's great. And it will be nice next year to know what grade people are in, especially everyone's got 4 years eligibility, but that they used them. That's great for their program, and obviously they've been a big part of their program.
Teams are similar in that both are 3-0 coming in. Neither team has really been challenged all that much in those first 3 games. Obviously, that changes for both teams in a big way today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they kind of, like you said, very similar first 3 games for both teams. They've, you know, they really had an easy one last week. You know, they didn't play a lot of their starters even at the end of the half, which is fine. That's how the schedule sets up. But they look like they're pretty healthy. We're pretty healthy. We both had to get through our 3 games. We both did, and it sets up a big matchup today.
Couple of things that we normally expect from CMU still hold true. Really good at running the ball, really good on defense. What they've done against you defensively has really been a problem in recent years. Just talk about having trying to turn that in your favor.
Yeah, well, last year was the turnovers were huge, and that's something that we can't do, and we know that, and we've talked to our players about that. The year before it was one turnover. If you take both games and combine them, it was the lack of scoring in the red zone both years. I mean, we were there multiple times last year and didn't score, and in the first half the year before and didn't score. So we have to take advantage of those opportunities. We can't panic if we get behind. This is a really good football team. This is a team that I thought was a national championship caliber team at the end of last year, and obviously that they have everyone back. I thought if they would have gotten the NCAA playoffs last year, watch out. I thought talent-wise they were the best team in our league. So we know the type of challenge that they bring at us, but I hope our kids are up to the challenge.
I don't know if you've addressed this. I'm sure you're just focused on today and what's in front of you today. But this game is not the be-all, end-all for your season, regardless of what happens today. First of all, the strength of the conference, you could have everybody knocking among the top teams, everybody knocking each other off. So a loss is, you know, doesn't necessarily doom your season. But again, I know it's a big game, and I know what it means. But again, it's not everything.
No, but you're right. It's not. And win or lose, you know, it's not. But in Division III football, I mean, the games mean the regular season means the most. I mean, you know, a one loss could do you in, and you have to be on your toes every game. And you know, with the expanded playoffs, that might not be necessarily to be the case. But we know how big of a game this is. We know that they know how big of a game this is. And like you said, there's games afterwards, but whoever wins this game is going to be feeling pretty good about themselves. And if it's not us, we'll pick ourselves up and go back at it next week.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Good luck today.
Thank you.
W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni, you are listening to President's Football Preview. President's taking on CMU this afternoon. Defensive coordinator Phil Bobich joins me when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patrisic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Back on President's Football Preview as W&J gets ready to take on Carnegie Mellon this afternoon. We're going to talk to Phil Bobich, the President's defensive coordinator. Phil, let's talk about the first three games, and then we'll transition to this week. You have to be very happy with what you have seen so far.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the first three games from the starting unit, even the second units as well, whenever they came in. But, yeah, the starting unit, exactly what we expected. Obviously, as a coach, always looking for things that we can improve on. One thing for this week and just going forward is definitely forcing more turnovers. Okay, so that's one thing that we'd like to see. Obviously, certain games are going to dictate if a team's taking a shot down the field or not, or just quick gaming. But yeah, trying to get that ball, whether it's forced fumbles or interceptions, that's one thing that we are definitely trying to emphasize and practice all season.
Anybody surprise you so far? Maybe exceed your expectations?
To be honest, not really, not anyone in particular. I mean, we knew coming in, we thought that we'd be a lot better in the secondary as we were in the last couple of years. So we've definitely been pleased with that. And up front, the dominant play out of our defensive line and linebackers, they've been everything that we've expected them to be.
You mentioned something a couple of weeks ago when you were here, and I had to think about it, and I want to bring it up again because you felt that on the D-line, you were as deep as you have ever been. And I started to think back to the last couple of years and the depth that you've had, that W&J has had on the defensive line the last 2, 3, 4 years. That's quite a statement.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I still stand by that, and that's how they play. So, I mean, it's just pretty much every other series with those guys, with the interior guys, with Aiden Thomas, Zach Valentine, and Tyler Primrose, that they're just rotating in. So, I mean, I'm confident of all three of them anytime they're in the game. Certain packages dictate of a pass rush, but I mean, the biggest thing is just trying to keep those guys fresh. As a former offensive lineman, I know how much of an advantage that is whenever a fresh defensive line would come in. So that's my philosophy on that, just trying to keep those guys fresh and get the most out of them.
Things are going to change this week. Obviously, a significant step up in competition with Carnegie Mellon. And I suspect you have emphasized that to your players.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everyone knows. I mean, the motto around the program is just obviously take one game at a time, go 1-0 every week. But everyone knows that this game is definitely a big one, homecoming, the emphasis on that. So, I mean, the guys have been very locked in all week, laser focus, meetings, preparation, everything has been going well so far.
And last year's game, I'm sure, as much as you try to put that behind you, but I've just been around football coaches and football players for far too long, that they still think about how that game went last year and want to make amends for it today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's been a sour taste in our mouths from last year. Big plays were killer in that game last year. I mean, we want to take pride defensively in stopping a run, and that was one thing that we did not do last year. So that's one thing that we really put an emphasis on for this game.
Talk about, and that starts up front with Carnegie Mellon. They've been really, really good up front, and that allows them to do the things that you talked about. And I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, it's the caliber of the player that they have, the scheme, but there seems to be an aspect of physicality that they bring that most teams in this conference do not.
Yeah, pretty much like you said, all three of those things with scheme, the players that they have, and the toughness that they bring. But they also play just personnel-wise a little bit different than most teams. So, I mean, we'll see a lot of two tight end sets out there. So, I mean, that's more of a running heavy team. And scheme-wise, there are a lot of RPOs similar to what we see with our offense. So, I mean, a lot of the times it might even look like it's a play action pass, but it's really, it's a run that the quarterback is either pre-snap seeing or seeing it after post-snap, and pulling the ball and throwing it.
Much like W&J, Carnegie Mellon has a number of fifth year players. When I look at their depth chart, I see names like Vasiliadis and Mills, who I don't think Mills didn't even play in the game. The quarterback didn't even play in the game last year. Vasiliadis had an injury as well. Mm-hmm. Not so much a worry for you, but Corey on the other side as a linebacker. So they've got a lot of familiar faces, a lot of really good players that you're going to have to contend with today.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh about it. I mean, it feels like old AFC North Steelers, Ravens, like just familiar faces that are always used to seeing each other. Feels like those guys have been here for a long time. Running back and the quarterback, yeah, they've been in these matchups going all the way back to 22 and 21. So, yeah, it's a lot of familiar faces on both sides of the ball.
And given that this likely is the final matchup with Carnegie Mellon leaving the conference after this year, I suspect that kind of plays into, you know, getting up for this game and maybe wanting to make one final statement against them.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, that's goes back to like the last thing with our guys being a lot of seniors. They just want to go out the right way too. But even the underclassmen that won't get a chance to see these guys again, that's how they would like to go out on top as well.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot, and good luck today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Phil Bobich, the President's Defensive Coordinator. You're listening to President's Football Preview here on WJPA, and Adam Kozera, President's Left Guard, will join me when we come right back.
This is Coach Guy Monicalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
From opening night to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, don't miss a second of the NFL this season. Hi, this is Kurt Warner of Westwood One. Join our crew each week for the best in primetime NFL action. Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night football, plus marquee games on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, and more. Westwood One is the exclusive radio home for every primetime and postseason game.
Right here on WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Back on our final segment of President's Football Preview as W&J gets ready to take on Carnegie Mellon homecoming here at Cameron Stadium today. We're going to talk to President's left guard, Adam Kozera. Adam, you're a fifth-year guy. Talk about the decision to come back for a fifth year. And you are one of a number of guys who have chosen to do that.
Well, riding bench all throughout high school, I never really had a chance to, like, start. So being able to come in and finally get a starting position my junior year and then breaking my ankle week two, it was pretty much a very easy decision just because I wanted to make up all that time I lost and actually be able to help the team out more than I was able to in the past.
Talk about how things have gone so far for you this year. You personally, the offensive line as a group, you know, the results certainly show it, but take us a little deeper inside maybe the final scores.
Just being able to push through every week, being able to talk to each other. Coach Glossick made it a very good point this year that communication is key, and it's really showed these last couple weeks. Just being able to communicate really helps us know what we're doing on the field and being able to get through everything we need to. And then just 5-1 is what he keeps expressing to us. Like, we got to be one whole unit rather than just individuals. We got to know each other's jobs, assignments, so that way we know what to do on that play.
Talk about that communication. Are you talking, I imagine it's multiple things, but is it more about when you come up to the line, pre-snap type communication, or is this in the huddle or on the sideline while the defense is out on the field? Talk about what that entails.
Honestly, it's just all together, like being on the same page, like being able to communicate twists, being able to communicate who we're working up to, and then whenever we get those fronts, like seeing if they shift and if they do, like talking about our assignments. And Jake Pugh will usually give us a second whenever they shift to like talk through like whatever we need to and then just get off the ball.
That probably happens a lot more quickly than the average person like me maybe realizes, especially if the play clock's ticking down.
Yeah, usually throughout the week we'll usually have our scout team like shifting, giving us an idea of like what's going to be coming. So that way, whenever we do hit game day, right as soon as they shift, we know to say our combos and who we're working up to, so that way we're always ready.
First three games, you guys have won in convincing fashion. Today, certainly a step or two up the ladder in terms of quality of competition. And certainly you know from facing Carnegie Mellon in recent years how tough a game this is going to be today.
Yeah, I mean, every week we treat it as the same. Everyone's in our way for that PAC championship and even a good run into the playoffs. Like, everyone's going to be trying to stop us, but as long as we keep pushing through and playing every game as we usually would against like any good opponent, we just got to play how we do it and not play down to our opponents.
How much motivation is there because of the way the previous recent games have gone against Carnegie Mellon?
The motivation is definitely at an all-time high because we have all the fifth years and regular seniors. It's the last year for the fifth years. We've never had a chance to beat CMU, and this is our last chance. I know one of my teammates all week just kept saying this can't lose. Like, we can't lose this game this week because it's our last chance. It's a lot of people's last chance with all the seniors we have and all the returning starters.
Any talk among you guys about Carnegie Mellon leaving the conference and not only your last chance, but even the guys who are still going to be here, not likely to get a chance to play them again after today?
I mean, I've been hearing a lot of different rumors on why they're leaving, but all I know is that we plan to give them a good losing game before they leave us because they can't just leave without losing to us. We won't allow that.
What's key today? What, talk about maybe what hasn't worked well against them in recent years and what you have to do today to have the kind of success that you want to have offensively.
For the most part, I wouldn't really say it was like players that we had. I feel like it was just, especially last year after Grove City, like, we were just at a low. We weren't playing to the best of our abilities. I even fell victim to that. Like, that was my first game ever losing as a starter. So me personally, like, I knew I was down in the gutter. But this year, like, we have them early. We're going to be able to get off the ball early and just keep running it.
All right. Very good. Good luck today and into the future. And I guess I should ask you, given that that you are a fifth year, a year from now, where do you see yourself?
Hopefully back on WJ's field, watching the games, being able to support them still, because they've done so much for me these past couple years, and I want to be able to give back in the future.
And career-wise?
Hopefully running a business. I was working at UPMC Warehouse over the summer, so that they're holding a position for me for whenever I get back.
All right, terrific. Thanks, Adam. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Adam Kucera, President's left guard. That will do it for President's Football Preview today. Big homecoming game today. W&J and Carnegie Mellon getting close to kickoff. We're back right after this.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Typically, it's the resident's son or daughter that start the process. They may come to us and they may take a tour by themselves first before mom and dad knows. That's a very intricate transition, as you know, moving your loved one from their house to a personal care home. We treat everyone like family. We have caregivers who take care of the frontline bathing and hygiene, med techs who pass the medications, and we have supervisors that oversee both of those areas, as well as a resident coordinator and a chef in each building. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
This is Kevin Harlan from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. We'll have great matchups all season long on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. Join Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and me for one of the NFL's great traditions, Monday Night Football on Westwood One.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Welcome to Cameron Stadium as we get set for kickoff, still a few moments away here on WJPA. Bob Gregg here along with John Sacco. I got Senior with me here tonight, or this afternoon. John, how many of these games you and I have been side by side in various capacities? And, you know, in college, it just doesn't get bigger locally than WJCMU.
No, it doesn't. Five letters and an ampersand, brother. Lots of games.
Your thoughts as you think back over what we've seen from 1984 through today?
Well, it's a great rivalry. I mean, you've got two storied programs. 84, WJ started taking control, and they did until CMU decided the first time to leave. Great football games. 87 is the greatest football game I ever saw. So, I mean, you can look, and I got to give CMU credit. When they left in 89, they took apart a really good WJ team that day. They only won by 10, but they took WJ apart, who was ranked, I know, one in the South region, maybe one in the country. That's what this kind of game, the emotion it evokes. A lot of great efforts, great teams. This is special, and unfortunately, it's probably going to be the last time they play.
It'll be the last time they play in conference. We do know that, but there are other possibilities, and it could happen as early as this year because of the expanded playoff field. There's it's a real possibility, some would say a likelihood, that two PAC teams, particularly if one's unbeaten and one has one loss only to that unbeaten team, that two PAC teams could make that national field. And believe me, with the geography, if it's these two, they wouldn't meet in the first round because the AA has avoided that. But they could certainly be matched up very closely down the road.
I've looked at this. I've studied it the last 3 weeks, and I think that even if nobody goes undefeated, which I don't think they will, and because I think the top four teams in this conference are all quality playoff teams. I think the two are going to get in, and I think you're right. In the second round, you could see this happen. If it's WJ and CMU, I hope we're right back here. But, you know, it is what it is, and this is a big game, as I wrote this week, because it's the first of that round robin. Now, Westminster might have a say in this somewhere along the line, too. I'm not going to discount them, but they can't win this conference. They can't. but they can shape it.
You talked about the possibility of being right back here. That would necessitate W&J winning today.
Well, everything necessitates W&J winning today, getting a better seed, setting them up to win the conference. I mean, this is a huge, huge football game.
1984 beating CMU that year was a real keystone in what's happened in 40 years of W&J football ever since. 25 PAC championships in a 35-year span starting with that 1984 and running through 2018. The other side is that the Presidents haven't won a conference title since then.
No.
And CMU's partly responsible for that.
They've taken a great big responsibility to that. I mean, let's be honest here. CMU has handled W&J. Not so much 2 years ago. W&J played a really good game, but they couldn't score. W&J has to score today. Now, is that going to be easy? No, it is not. But it's time to play your best game.
We're hopeful at halftime. A key part of the 1987 W&J CMU game that you referenced, best game you said you've ever seen, best college football game I've ever been a part of. There are people in the conference that say it's the best PAC game ever. There are people that say it was the best Division III football game ever played.
It could be, and I'm going to throw one more at you. What A.J. Pagano did that day, I've never seen an athlete take over a game, control a game, and win a game for his team. He wasn't going to lose, and he lost his mind in that game. That was the most unbelievable individual performance other than Secretariat that I saw on a given day.
You know, and what's really neat, the people say you ought to write a book, that kind of stuff. You know, there are pieces that people know nothing about that day that you and I were party to, were a party of making, et cetera, et cetera. There were just so many great things, some of them funny, and I'll mention this.
Some of them not to be spoken, but go ahead if you want.
The funny one that I'm going to mention is the shot of you underneath the goalpost with your clipboard tucked underneath one arm and doing the Australian rules football kick is good when Ivory's kick went through and Jay won the game.
I was young then. That's my defense.
It was just a classic picture. And, of course, two quarters of football before that, the education of the young Carnegie Mellon broadcaster about use of terms like non-factor.
Well, you know, back then, if you tried to even intimate that A.J. Pagano was going to be a non-factor in a game, I would tell you that you have some loose screws. Let's not forget this series also that day, that Dennis Buzz Scott, W.J. assistant, a great guy, and he's back here today. He put on quite a show, too.
He put on a show a couple of times in 87. I think something about Pat Herb blocking a punt. Was that year?
He also put on a show when me and you and Mark were, like, I don't know what we were, coming to Allegheny from Wilmington, covering Fort Cherry and Wilmington playoff game, and the roads didn't even look like they existed. We're all, like, shell-shocked, and who's the first person we see when we walk in a hotel? Buzzy, screaming, crazy.
Presidents are going to take the football. Here's where we stand. W&J and Carnegie Mellon both 3-0 in the league, 3-0 overall. Three other teams still unbeaten. Case Western Reserve, Grove City, and Westminster all at 2-0. Allegheny, Geneva, St. Vincent all at 1-2, while Bethany, Teal, and Waynesburg each looking for their first wins of the year. Waynesburg's at St. Vincent. That was a 1 o'clock kick. Ours is a 2 o'clock homecoming kickoff today. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Westminster's at Teal. Case Western Reserve at Geneva also at 3. And tonight, under the lights at Grove City, the Wolverines are hosting Allegheny. Coverage today brought to you in part by First Federal Savings and Loan Association of Greene County, celebrating 100 years. People you know, people you can trust. By attorney John Patricic, with nearly 30 years of experience giving your case the attention it deserves. By the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, celebrating our region's rich athletic tradition. By Washington Financial Bank, for 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. And by Personal Care at Evergreen in Washington, Waynesburg, and Morgantown, online evergreenassisted.com. PDHarris.com. P.D. Harris II is our referee. Brad DeMarkey is the umpire. Rusty Mitchell, the headlinesman. Jeff Adkins on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Dean Mara, the side judge. Mike Ridgway is the field judge. And the back judge is Ethan Gunter. Dan Brown running the game clock. Chuck Watts on the play clock. Chris Teagarden is our official scorer. Big thanks to Carnegie Mellon Sports Information Director Mark Fisher and WNJ SID Shea Stanton. And, of course, to Junior over there, Jack Sacco, for his help all week long, keeping us up to date on things going on. WNJ is going to receive the opening kick. Going to take the ball and see what they can do.
Well, here's what I think they need to do. I've watched a significant enough film on both. CMU, I'm going to tell you straight up, CMU's defense is stellar. The linebackers are outstanding. WNJ must conflict those guys. They must make them make choices. Running the ball up inside is going to matter. That means, in my mind, that it's got to be Kobe and Owen Patrice, because Owen runs the best up inside. Bouncing at the line of scrimmage won't work. If you let those linebackers run free all day and don't make them make choices, they'll ruin your game. I can't be any more blunt than that. I do think WJ can win. They got to throw the ball, but they must run the ball. And don't be afraid to lose. Play the game like you want to win it. And then on the other side, they're going to see a bunch of crossing patterns, and they're going to need all the depth they have up front. And they have a lot of it, but they're going to need it.
I think CMU has like 8 players with 3 catches. A lot of people get involved in the CMU pass game with Ben Mills throwing at the graduate student out of Woodlands, Texas.
Yes.
Volpatti, DeRosa back to receive, and it's going to be Volpatti. Take the ball at the 1-yard line, right up the hash. Now cut it to the near side at the 10, and he gets knocked down there.
Not exactly the start that you want.
Now the Presidents will start just across their own 10-yard line on a very short kick. Return was set up to the right, and Volpatti quickly abandoned it and brought it all alone, 1-on-2, to the left side.
He had no help at all. I mean, there was nobody there.
As we move through the day, I want to ask you about a couple of specific people. Mike Sirianni, one. Jake Pugh, another. This is a situation where an opportunity here to win a big game, and they need to get it done. First and 10 from the 11. Pugh hands it off. DeRosa made a man miss at the line of scrimmage and carries out to about the 18-yard line.
Very interesting, Bob. The left guard at WJ was wide space trying to create a hole. Kobe got up in there, and then he bounced it outside, and that's exactly what I'm talking about today. You can't give up on a play. You got to get up in there.
8 yards on the run. President's right back at the line of scrimmage. The senior out of Thomas Jefferson, Jake Pugh, calls for the snap. 2nd and 2. Pass play to the near side is caught by Rosati. Good for the first down. Knocked to the boundary immediately.
Same alignment again. The left guard is split out.
4-yard completion. Presidents churn out first downs at a really remarkable clip. They move the sticks for the first time on the completion to Anthony Rosati. Pass slant in intended for Peduzzi, and that ball out in front of him by about a half step.
Yeah, just a little too far. Again, he was there. It would have taken certainly a really good throw, but it was available to them.
And time to throw that ball. Pugh was able to stand there clean and look it over. Threw his first interceptions of the year last week at Waynesburg. 2nd and 10 now from the 23. Slot. Rosati goes in motion, putting twins to the left side. 3-man rush. Pugh gets hit, stays on his feet, dumps the ball off, and passes underthrown and almost picked off.
An ill-advised throw. Jake, you got to throw that into the ground. That was really close, really close. But the D-back didn't contest, so.
3rd and 10 now from the 23-yard line. President's after the short kickoff return, picked up one first down, and they've thrown the ball three straight times since then, and now on third and 10. Trips to the right, tight end set to the left side. D-line moving around, and blitz coming. Picked up well. Pugh throws the deep ball, looking for McCosko. Lays out, can't make the catch at the 35-yard line. There was a flag down in the backfield, and Pugh is picking himself up off the ground, holding against the Presidents. And CMU will likely decline the penalty, take the incomplete pass. Presidents get 8 yards on a run on their first play and throw the ball four straight times since then, three of them incompletions, and will now punt.
You have to run the ball, and you can't abandon that.
Devin Wyatt back to punt, and this is an area that Carnegie Mellon has been spectacular at. Presidents punt protection line, wide splits. Try to find a way to slow people down. Man flies in motion across. Roll out. Wyatt gets the kick away. It's going to hit at about the 40-yard line of CMU and roll dead at about the 35-yard line. 13:37 to play opening quarter. W&J and Carnegie Mellon scoreless here on the WJPA Sports Network.
With school back in session, now's the perfect time to plan for the future. Open an Education Club savings account at First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County and let your future dreams start adding up. Plus, you may qualify for a scholarship upon high school graduation. Visit any First Federal branch or online at ffgc.bank for rules and scholarship eligibility. First Federal, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS 4587. First Federal wishes all student athletes best of luck this season.
Take the punt off the board. The Presidents called for illegal motion. The gunner who went in motion turned up field before the ball was snapped, Marcus Harrell Jr., and therefore Presidents are going to have to punt it again. Two penalty flags on consecutive snaps. One of them accepted, one not. Wyatt gets the snap and has all kind of room. Line drive kick, though. Backpedaling, taking it at the 39-yard line. Returned by Voylin, and Voylin tried to go left, got turned back in, and is going to end up with about a 3-yard punt return.
Both the punts so far, more line drive than anything else. He's done a good job this year getting the ball up in the air with hang time, but not those two.
43-yard punt, 4 on the return. Carnegie Mellon with 13:24 to play in the opening quarter. On offense for the first time, ball at the Tartans 43. Ben Mills, who's completed two-thirds of his passes, 44 of 66, has thrown three interceptions with just 529 yards. Matt Everett goes in motion. Running play coming up the middle. Play forward for about three. Vasily Otis, the ball carrier, the graduate student out of Great Falls, Virginia, going to get credit to the 46 3-yard carry.
Justin Johns in on the stop. Avery Keith as well.
Second down and 7. Rollout. Mills throws it out about the two lanes out onto the track. Incomplete. Good pressure.
Keith again with the pressure. Dawson Dietz. If those guys don't get pressured, they had a big play. Big play. No question in my mind.
So now third down and 7. Looked like Boylan got beyond the coverage there, but the pressure on Mills kept him from finding him. Trips to the near side. Tight end set to the left. And now two men reset to bunch the trips together. Third and 7. Rollout. Mills coming this way. Throws the little dump off. Pass is caught across midfield. The tackle made at the President's 46. But a first down on the grab by Kulke.
Nice little play. Mills will spread it around.
8-yard pickup. Needed 7. Move the sticks. Grab by Kulke. He approaches 10 grabs and 100 receiving yards on the season. Motion to twins left. Already two slots that way. Quarterback keeper Mills pulls it down, doesn't get back to the line of scrimmage, and gets crumpled.
The big hands of Dawson Dietz wrapped him up real good, and he got an assist from Sean Berardino.
Loss of a yard on the run. I checked that ball. Was that Bauma, the ball carrier?
Yep.
William Bauma, direct snap and a wildcat type thing, and we saw the Presidents have trouble with that a couple of years ago. So indeed, it was Bauma and not Mills. Second and 11 at the President's 47. Mills on a play fake, slot inside, pass denied on the deep flag route, incomplete.
Great, great coverage by Carson Laconi.
Pass intended for Will Squibb, the senior out of Ozark, Missouri. Laconi has one of two W&J interceptions defensively. Third and 11 now for Carnegie Mellon. Clock stop with the incompletion. 11:42 to play in a scoreless first quarter. Tartans trying to extend their first possession. Mills forced to look things over. Going to try to scramble. Made a man miss. Now brings it up the field. Trying to set up a blocker. Got hit from behind and taken down at about the 39-yard line. Picked up eight, but it'll be fourth and three.
Keaton Hall chasing him down. WJ again. Good penetration. Dawson Dietz fought through three guys. He didn't get there, but he certainly made it. It looks like we're going wildcat again here.
Fourth down and three at the W&J 39-yard line.
Berardino comes back in the game for W&J. Play left at. This is a big play ball.
Bauma with Vasiliotis beside. Slot man goes in motion. Resets. Bauma on the keeper, trying to run wide right, going to get a block, and the first down, almost split it. Bauma picks up the first down inside the President's 30.
They had him out leverage there. Bauma got, once he got to the outside, I was wondering if he was going to take it to the house.
Ball at the President's 28, 11 yards on that carry. Oh, a third down conversion, a fourth down conversion for Carnegie Mellon here early in the ball game. 10:20 to play. Scoreless. First and 10 at the J 28-yard line. Mills hands off Vasiliotis with a cutback, and he dives his way forward to the 22, 6 yards.
Nice cut. I mean, Jay is, they're substituting liberally. They know what kind of game this is going to be.
A little humid, a little warm here today, but good cloud cover, so that keep that temperature down a little bit. Second down and four at the W&J 22. Mills with an empty backfield. Drops and rolls to his right. Tucks the ball and runs. Got a block against the only defender in his face, Justin Johns, and nothing Johns could do there. Carry for a first down.
Just a good play by Mills. Good recognition of what was going on in the rest of the field. Wildcat back in.
Ball to the 13-yard line. On the last four plays, Carnegie Mellon, 8 yards, 11 yards, 6 yards, 9 yards.
Bauma's in.
And now a receiver comes from the sideline, and the Presidents are going to make a substitution as well. And and Bauma upset about it, but Carnegie Mellon did the substitution late. That's on them, and they're going to have to use a timeout. And that's just the way it goes. That's the rules. You make a sub, I get to respond to it.
Exactly.
And if you don't do it till there's 8 seconds left on the play clock, that's not my problem. 8:55 to play, first quarter, scoreless, back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Ball at the WJ 13-yard line after the CMU timeout.
And it looks like they're not going to go in the Wildcat because Mills is back out on the field.
Vasiliotis with Mills, and the Presidents are going to sub out here again based on that personnel package. Referee Petey Harris and umpire Brad DeMarkey handling the timing of all of that. Motion to balance the set near side. Mills to put it up, pass batted down. Johns got a hand up and knocked the ball down.
Justin Johns is pretty active right now, for sure.
Just one completion and four attempts for each quarterback today. Second down and 10 at the WJ 13-yard line. Bauma resets in the backfield. Mills looks. Middle screen pass is caught. Receiver fell down after making the grab. That's Brendan McCullough, the sophomore out of Peters Township.
Austin Dietz with good pressure again. Forced the ball a little bit to the left. That forced McCullough over a little bit, and then he got off balance and went down.
Actually, a loss of a yard on the completed pass.
This is a big play. Third down. You want to keep him out. Try to just hold him to a field goal attempt.
It's third and 11. Second time in this possession that CMU's faced third and 11. Mills flushed out. Going to throw it on the go. Pass is too tall. The receiver knocked the defender down. I mean, pushed off. And no flag.
Just a little bit. That's a good stand there by WJ. You were on the field a lot longer than they would want to be, but that's a good stand.
So Kai Simmons got knocked down by the target. And now field goal attempt. Caputo to kick it out of the hold of Squibb. Spot is the 22, so this would be a 32-yard field goal. Snap a little behind. Good job there to tee it up, and the kick is good. 8:01 to play. Opening quarter. Carnegie Mellon 3, Washington and Jefferson nothing. Kickoff on WJPA when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Tartans make a living when they score first. They've won 12 consecutive games when they were the first to score. And get this, 46-4 in the last 50 games when they scored first.
That's a pretty good trend. We'll see. WJ's got to establish a running game. Did a good job on first down, the first drive, and then abandoned running the football.
Great to have you along here this afternoon on WJPA AM in Washington. For 80 years, the home of Washington and Jefferson College football.
I have some scores. Ithaca 31, Curry 9. Here's an upset, potentially. RPI 20, Endicott 14. Waynesburg's up on St. Vincent 14-7. Susquehanna 28, Western New England 14. Heidelberg 10. John Carroll, 0. And Mount Union, 7. Baldwin-Wallace, 0. This is the game that's on the national stage today. There will be a lot of eyes on this outcome.
Ball set to be kicked to Volpatti and DeRosa back deep to receive. Jack Norrell with the ball teed up. Norrell gets the come along and puts his foot to it, and it's going to be Volpatti looking at it again, and kick finds its way into the end zone for the touchback, so the Presidents will start at the 25. better field position than the Presidents had at any point on their opening possession, even though they picked up a first down.
Yeah, it's a little bit of room here. It's going to be interesting to see the attack that WJ takes on this drive.
Four straight runs to end the previous possession. First and 10 from the 25-yard line. Trips to the right side. Tight end set to the left. That tight end is Zach Cernuto. Single back. DeRosa gets the handoff. Slip contact in the backfield. Got forward for about three, maybe four. Good job at first step after he got the ball is what got him out of the backfield. They will spot him down with a gain of three to the 28.
Early on, it looks like Kobe DeRosa understands what is going to be needed today. He's getting up in those holes, and he's doing what he has to do. But he's getting through there, and that's the main thing.
Cernuto, tight end to the right with a wing outside him. And now Peduzzi motions to three eligible receivers that way. Pugh on the keeper, up over the 30, out to the 33-yard line. Third and short coming up.
Very effective. Look, CMU is giving great attention to WJ's passing game, and they have enough confidence in their three down linemen and their backers to stop the run. It appears right now CMU is not going to let WJ get behind it.
Third and two at the 33. Two backs in the backfield. Both stay home. Pugh pulls it back down, rolls to his right, throws the ball to the sideline. Fingertip attempt, not able to make the grab. McCosco, incomplete.
That would have been a tough catch. Again, you got to have some confidence in your offensive line to be able to block those people.
Fourth down and two at the 33. Second punt of the day coming for Devin Wyatt. Actually, it'll be the third time he kicks the ball. First one was low, and the second one was a little longer and a line drive, but good coverage. Boyland just 4 yards on the return. Wyatt to tow this somewhere around his own 22. It's the kick away. It is short, going to hit in front of Boyland. Take a huge W&J roll inside the 20 and down at the 16-yard line. 51-yard punt and roll.
Well, it wasn't pretty, but it sure was a beautiful kick. It didn't look too good, but it turned out really, really good. WJ's got to establish himself now. They got to stop these guys. I know they bent but didn't break last time, but they don't really need any bent this time. They need to get these guys off the field.
Three first downs for Carnegie Mellon on that opening possession. A third down and a fourth down conversion, and later also failed on a couple of thirds. First and 10, Tartans from their own 16-yard line. And off to the tailback, Vasiliotis hit behind the line and is going to get forward progress credit back to the 16.
Great play by Justin John. He's got a good read right now.
He's very active.
He's flying around the field.
Justin John's one of the guys that we talked here in the booth, needs to have that name called a lot today, be very active.
That was one of my keys, and so far so good.
Tight end Danny Moynihan set to the near side, wing outside of him. Second down and 10 for the Tartans. That wing Everett goes in motion back across the set. Running play, Vasiliotis took it right side. Justin Johns has him around the waist and drags him down after a gain of one.
Great job by Justin Johns again.
Oh, now third down and 9 for the Tartans. Have converted third and 7. Fourth and 11.
I would expect a waggle, crossing patterns. I don't know if 11 doesn't know where he's going or that's the exact motion.
Reese Kuhlke finally gets set. Third down and 9. Now the wide receiver left motions to four receivers this way. Reset. Rollout by Mills. Pressured out of the pocket. Throws to the sideline. Ball is caught and going to be ruled a catch inbounds. And Kuhlke knew where he was going there. Got the first down.
Nice, nice play. They ran three guys out and then one guy underneath. Great, good call. Good call by CMU and a good execution. Got to get off the field on third down.
14-yard pickup Move the Sticks, second catch of the day for Kuhlke, 10th of the season. Two for four, Tartans here in the early going.
Clive is in the game. Bowman's in the game.
Bauma takes the direct snap and runs to the near side. Jump cut, made a man miss. Going to push the ball out to about the 35, get 4 yards.
CMU's doing a really good job of mixing their offense up. I give them credit.
3-0, Carnegie Mellon leads. 4.5 minutes to play in the opening quarter. Ben Mills checks back in, the 6'2", 225 graduate quarterback from Woodlands, Texas.
Aiden Thomas in the game. Zach Valentine out.
Second and six. Tartans at their own 35. Single back with Mills. Slot left. Motions back toward the formation. Mills hands to Vasiliotis. Got a block at the edge. Up over the 35. Lost the football. Scramble, and the Presidents are all over it and going to recover it inside the CMU 35.
Again, big time play by Justin Johns. Big time play.
Vasiliotis puts the ball on the ground. The Presidents take it and will take over. Just under 4 minutes to play in the opening quarter. Carnegie Mellon 3, WJ nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
This is Coach Guy Montecalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
You know, every team probably has numbers when you win the turnover battle that those stack up in your favor, and certainly Carnegie Mellon is a team that has that. Presidents are better when they win the turnover battle versus losing it, but you gotta win it. CMU has won 23 straight when they've turned the ball over less than their opponents. But W&J with the opportunity here on takeaway number one. And these are situations you got to have. And, boy, Justin Johns, the dogged pursuit of excellence today.
He sure is. He's real active. And W&J's defensive front's doing a pretty good job as well. But now comes this point. W&J hasn't been able to do much against CMU offensively. They need to get a score on the board here. You're starting at the 34, short field. You need to get some points.
Presidents have run the ball three times. They've thrown it five times. Owen Patricic in the ball game at the running back. Tight end and wing right. Now motion the wing. That is Cernuto to three receivers to the left. First and 10 from the 34. Pugh shows to Patricic. Paduzzi wide open. 25-20 and down inside the 15-yard line.
Excellent job. They saw something that they had seen on film. And that's not what they were expecting to come of it.
20 yards in tight and a first down. First catch of the day for Paduzzi. Now first and 10 at the CMU 14-yard line.
A touchdown here, Bob, will give WJ great confidence.
Talked about this before, that they got field goals previous times like this. Got to score touchdowns in the red zone.
Yes, you do.
Especially in a takeaway situation. Paduzzi motions toward the sideline, now back to the set. Pugh rolls out, wide open, Paduzzi, 10-5, pylon, touchdown. How do you let John Paduzzi get free?
I'll tell you what, W&J did a little wrinkle off what they've been doing, and the presence of Owen Patricic in that particular set made them do something that they weren't, you conflicted them. Now, early in his broadcast. And Paduzzi was by himself. And a good execution by Jake Pugh.
Paduzzi was by himself twice in two plays. Extra point attempt for Devin Wyatt. Snap, hold good. Pressure, not a problem. Kick straight down the middle. WJ 7, Carnegie Mellon 3. 3:11 to play, opening quarter. Kickoff on WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
nowadays, personal care homes aren't like what they used to be 15 years ago. They were called homes. And once you went there, you didn't come back. Our goal is to take care of your loved one, provide skilled occupational therapy, physical therapy, get them doing the best that they can do, and it's always an option to go home if it's appropriate. You can get all your services completed, home health, hospice, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech. We can do it all in-house. Evergreen's able to provide a well-staffed, above-staffed environment with highly educated, highly trained staff. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Liam Campbell set to kick off, and he will drill this one deep. It'll be brought out from the two-yard line. DJ Johnson, it's in the middle of the field. Lost the ball, and the Presidents have it again.
28.
The ball just popped right out, and two Presidents there to take it. Caden Orga, I believe.
I think that's Caden, sure. Yes. Yep. They really got to take care of this one, Bob. You can put them in a, not put them away, obviously, but you want to take advantage of this right now.
Presidents at the CMU 19-yard line. WJ will line up trips to the right. Rosati, the nearest of the three. Single back, Owen Patricic. Cernuto this way. Patricic takes the handoff. Tried to bounce it right and going to get hammered. And I mean literally right hand down across the ball, hammered from behind. Loses about 3 yards.
Yeah, there was not much at all there.
O-line they got shoved back into the backfield.
Bob, they're playing
bit.
With three linemen. That's yeah. What they're – three linemen and the linebackers. That's what they're doing. Because they are not going to let – they're playing four cross. Too deep.
Well, from a formation standpoint, you got to find a way to run the ball against that formation.
Well, you have to get out there and get bodies on the linebackers. That's what's important.
Second and 13. And a timeout for the Presidents. Did not like what was happening. 2:19 to play here in the first quarter. So now each team has used a timeout. All right, John, what – sudden change. Presidents took advantage of the first one, kick the ball off, get the fumble recovery. While you have to take advantage in some fashion there, you also can't give the ball away trying to do something that's not there. You got to play this smart.
No, you do. I mean, somebody would say, well, that's the time to throw it over top of them. They're not going to let you. They're playing four back there. I mean, so there's no need of forcing anything. You start hitting those slants to Peduzzi, like that set up the touchdown. Those types of things will open doors for you. But you're right, Bob. You can't try to force things that are not there. And CMU just made a better play on the first down. I mean, they just did. I mean, this is not chopped liver you're playing. This is a good football team.
And usually the team that makes the most better plays wins the game.
Well, sure.
The Tartans have put the ball on the ground twice here.
Yep. But WJ's got to make this hurt. They have to make this hurt.
Second and 13. Jay at the CMU 22. Patricic beside Pugh in the backfield. Roll, slant, pass. Peduzzi looked like he shortened that up a little bit. Incomplete on that quick slant in.
Well, was it supposed to go to him or to McCoska? Yeah, it just wasn't a good pass.
Peduzzi with a couple of catches back-to-back on that last possession that got the Presidents in the lead. And Rosati has a 4-yard catch on the opening possession of the ball game.
You don't want a 3-and-out here, that's for sure.
Third and 13. Blitz coming. Everybody's coming. Pugh stands in it. Throws the ball. Peduzzi goes in. The pass went behind him. And Peduzzi looking for a call and is not going to get it.
No, they're not going to get it.
A little chatting going on. He and Jackson LaJoy talking things up.
Well, hey, look, I'm okay with it. If you're going to let that go, let it go. He certainly was contact. This is an important kick. WJ hasn't been very good with field goals in recent history.
Spot is the 29. 39-yard field goal for Devin Wyatt, the junior out of Bishop Guilfoyle. High snap. Good job to get it teed up, and Wyatt boots it home.
Big time points right there.
Great job by the holder, Jake Mell, out of Chartiers,
Houston. I'd say so. That was a great hold. And you know, CMU got to look at this, too, as, you know, that's a win for them. They could be down 14 right now. Down 11.
39-yard field goal for Devin Wyatt. 2:06 to play. Opening quarter. And the Presidents will kick off. Back-to-back CMU turnovers, and the Presidents take advantage, get 10 points. It's a 2:06 left in our first half. Our hope is that Pat Agner is going to join us at the half and chat a little bit about the fun that was particularly the 1987 campaign. He knows a little bit about that.
Well, he was the maestro. He was the maestro.
DJ Johnson back to receive his fumble on the last kickoff. Gave the Presidents the opportunity. Kudos to the CMU defense for saying, okay, you get three here, you get three, but you're not getting another seven.
And the first down play was the key to that hole. They got WJ behind the sticks.
Campbell to kick. Campbell sends it end over end, and Johnson wants nothing to do with this one that lands 3 yards deep in the end zone. What a weapon Liam Campbell has become this season.
Sure has. He does a great job for WJ.
Well, the Tartans, who have moved the ball on both of their possessions, moved from their own 43 to the WJ 14, where the opening drive stalled out for the Caputo 32-yard field goal. Started at their own 16 and had the ball to the President's 35. I'm sorry, to their own 35 when Vasiliotis had it stripped by Justin Johns. Now take over at their own 25-yard line. Everett resets left side. Vasiliotis takes the handoff, trying to run left, puts a foot in the ground, try a cutback, and is going to get about three. That cutback, always a dangerous move against the defense.
That sure is. Dawson Dietz got him around the line of scrimmage to slow him up, and that linebacker's cleaned it up.
Vasiliotis, 6 carries for 11 yards to this point, and 1 fumble lost. Second down and 8 from the 27. Mills calls for the shotgun snap, hands it off, running play left side, and Justin Johns, face mask right into that 21 on the chest of Vasiliotis, takes him down at the 30, so third in the medium, 3rd and 5.
Again, crossing pattern, waggle. Little bubble-type pass. Those are all things you can see here.
Ben Mills, 3 of 7, throwing the ball. 3rd down and 5 for the Tartans at their own 30-yard line. Mills drops and rolls to his right, trying to find somebody coming across. Now going to have to throw it to the sideline. Ball is incomplete. Short hop into Matt Everett. Incomplete. It's 4th down.
I don't think it was going to be a 1st down anyway. Great coverage by WJ. They tried to run a little combo route, but WJ had it covered the whole time.
A punt formation for Julian Harcourt, averaging just 31 yards a punt on the season. Just under a minute remaining in the opening quarter. WJ up 10-3, and the Presidents are going to get the ball. Rosati back to receive. Harcourt. He handles a low snap, gets an end-over-end kick away. Rosati going to take it on the hop back at his own 30 and save what he can. Good job there. Get out of dodge. Don't let that ball keep on bounding. Nope. It's a 40-yard punt as it is, and the return by Rosati going to get about 3, but save the whole bunch.
Oh, he saved at least 10, 12.
The Presidents will take over, leading 10-3. seconds, 42.4 seconds to play in the quarter. Great to have you along here on WJPA AM in Washington and listening online, the WJPA Sports Network. 33-yard line, first and 10 for the red and black. Peduzzi joins McCosco and Cernuto all wide of the O-line. Now Cernuto motions to come outside the tight end set this way. Play fake. Pugh sets and throws to the sideline. In traffic, ball is caught. McCosco went and got it at about the 40.
Nice catch by McCosco along the sideline. Again, good pass protection by W&J.
First catch of the day for McCosco, who was ejected from last week's game, or I guess officially disqualified himself with his second unsportsmanlike conduct foul in the game. And we're going to play this to the end of the quarter. W&J 10, Carnegie Mellon 3. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Don't fall behind on your home improvement projects. Let First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County help you with the heavy lifting before winter. First Federal gives you all the tools you need with FHA Title I home improvement, home equity, construction, and owner-builder loans. With offices in Washington, Greene, and Fayette counties, your loan stays here. Apply in person or anytime online at ffgc.bank. First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, and MLS 458729.
Rich Eisen here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long as we get you ready for primetime NFL action every Monday night. Along with Kevin Harlan, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner, and the entire Westwood One team, will take you inside the locker rooms and the stadiums for exclusive previews and all the play-by-play action. Every week on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
After one quarter, CMU with the total offense advantage, 45 yards on the ground. I have 21 through the air, 66 yards total offense for CMU. W&J, 13 yards rush, 45 yards passing, 58 total. But really, the key in the ball game, two Carnegie Mellon University turnovers, and the defense is forcing field goals on for two of the three scores that have happened so far. W&J will have it second down and three at the 40-yard line. Steelers football coming your way tomorrow at noon, Sunday night, Monday night football as well. And then next Saturday, right back at this college game, we'll be in New Wilmington as W&J will travel to take on Westminster. We'll have that game for you here on the WJPA Sports Network. I do want to say thanks to our production partners from greensports.net, helping us on a number of technical aspects all year long, and we appreciate that. Peduzzi and Seaman go to the CMU side of the field. W&J now moving left to right. Rosati and McCosco set this way with Patricic in the backfield. Patricic gets the call, makes a move to the left, and he's out close to the first down. Not going to get a great spot, or is he? Yeah, line judge Jeff Adkins going to cheat a little bit forward, and I think it's the first down.
They are moving the sticks.
A little extra effort there by Patricic to after he got contact. I thought right as soon as he stepped through the hole, this is a first down easy, and then it wasn't so easy. And, of course, you shouldn't expect anything to be easy against this defense.
No, not at all. But I will say that I thought he had the first down, and then when I saw the mark from the offside field, I was like you. I don't know.
Pugh dumped the ball off. Patricic makes the grab, 50, 45, and knocked out of bounds, first down.
That's a pretty unique play right there. And that's exactly what they were looking at, too.
Pugh was in trouble. And just like, okay, let me throw this. And Patricic took it, got to the 43, a gain of 14 on the pass play. You know, I think in the old statistical days, that pass was backwards and would be a run, but the intention was to throw the ball, and that's the way it gets credited nowadays.
I guess so, but it's a run in my book.
Pugh on the fade for McCosco. And McCosko got to go up and try to break it up. The pass carried both the receiver and defender out of bounds. Adrian Williams on the coverage.
I don't want to keep repeating myself. They're not going to let WJ go over top of them. They're just not going to do it. I mean, you might later in the game when things get a little bit, people get tired or whatever, but they're just not going to allow WJ to get over the top of them. And so you have to adjust to that.
Let me check with Jack. How'd that go in the books there? A run? Okay, thank you. We'll back that up one. Give Patricic 14 yards on the ground instead of on the reception. President's at the line of scrimmage a long time and too long for the liking of head coach Mike Sirianni.
Yeah, they weren't really sure what they were doing in terms of alignment. Mike just said that enough.
WJ uses its second timeout, 13:52 to play first half. 10-3 Presidents. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Second down and 10 for W&J. Presidents, by the way, wearing all black today.
Mindset.
White pants and white jerseys. McCosko and Peduzzi. Twins to the left, twins to the right are Seaman and Rosati. With Patricic in the backfield. He stays home. The block pass caught by Rosati. 35 and down to about the 31-yard line. First down.
That'll work. That's what you got to do. Go. They're not going to let you on top. Go underneath them. You hurt them with that three or four more times, and they might loosen up a little bit back there.
12-yard completion for a first down. Second grab of the day for Anthony Rosati. Rollout screen pass is caught. Peduzzi trying to bow it back, and does. 20, 15, bounce down to about the 11-yard line, first down.
Excellent play call. Great job by number 77, Elijah Staub. Downfield with a big block.
20-yard pickup.
WJ got a little rhythm right now. Look. I'm not criticizing CMU. I wouldn't let WJ beat me. Look, you got to drive on me. If you do it, I tip my cap to you.
President's bring Raymond Holmes in a blocking alignment to the left, and now motion Cernuto out of there. Running play up the middle. Patricic on his feet. Touchdown.
WJ's rolling on offense right now. This is why I've said all along, use Owen Patricic up inside. He runs the ball better than any WJ runner inside. Now, that is always not going to work, but he will work against this defense.
12:35 to play, first half. Devin Wyatt for the PAT. Kick up and good out of a good hold by Jake Mell. W&J 17, Carnegie Mellon 3. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank, Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
From opening night to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, don't miss a second of the NFL this season. Hi, this is Kurt Warner of Westwood One. Join our crew each week for the best in primetime NFL action. Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night football, plus marquee games on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, and more. Westwood One is the exclusive radio home for every primetime and postseason game.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
We're a long way from recess, 12:35 to play in this second quarter, but since I've been throwing out these little historical notes, here's one for you. If the Presidents get to the halftime with the lead, their record in such games under Mike Sirianni, 146-5.
That's strong. Great. Yeah, it's very strong. Yes, it is.
It is 17-3 Presidents at the moment. A lot of football to be played today.
This is a good football team. Don't count CMU out. I think one thing they, I'm not saying discount it, they just picked their poison. We're not going to let these guys go over top of us and beat them right away. Drive on us. And WJ's doing it. WJ's offensive line is doing a really good job.
Presidents set to kick off. DJ Johnson back deep to receive. Liam Campbell on the run up. And he's going to kick it to Johnson. He'll settle under it at the 5. Up the numbers. Now to the hash. Take it to the middle of the field. And Johnson going to get out close to the 30-yard line. Johnson. We're going to put this ball down. Looks to be about the 30-yard line. About 25 on the run back. And we'll go right at the 30.
Now, two things. Don't expect CMU to come out throwing a ball over the place. This is not an overcomable lead by WJ. And number two, WJ's got to keep the pedal to the metal on defense.
Reese Kolke wide out to the near side. Has a couple of the three completions. Has two of the three. Mills slings it to the right side. Pass is caught behind the line of scrimmage. The pile moving forward for a gain of about almost 4 on that just quick pop pass. Almost a screen trying to get something set up there to McCullough.
Short little bubble screen.
His second grab of the day. Going to be good for 4 yards. Tartans want to go quick. Mills to that sideline. Pass is caught. McCullough slips a tackle. Got stopped at about the 39. Picks up 5 more.
Neat little move to get up there close to the first down. Stick.
Third and a yard to go. Tartans do make a change, and so the Presidents will get to do that. Brad DeMarkey, the umpire, he gets to run in and out of that alignment all day long. Every time the O makes a change, he got to run up there and stop him from moving the ball. Third down and 1 from the 39. Mills under center. Tailback gets the call. Vasiliotis strung out, slips the tackle, tried to stick the ball forward, lost the ball to the boundary, and this is going to be bang, bang, and they're going to put him, lost the ball at the 39, no gain.
Well, this, I know there's not a lot here, but boy, if you're going for it, you better make this. You better make this.
And a bunch of people coming on. I don't know that you can go for it here, can you?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't, because you can find yourself right out of the game.
Well, we've seen.
I'm not saying they won't do this, a short snap.
We've seen special team situations over the years in this matchup. Fourth down and a yard. If you're W&J, you got to make sure that Mills punts the ball, and it will be Mills. Booms this one.
That's
going to carry inside the 20, the 15, roll down inside the 10, and be downed at the 2.
That's a great punt. And that's exactly what I thought CMU should do. It's not worth taking a chance.
Ben Mills punts it down to the 2-yard line, 59 yards. 10:25 to play, second quarter. Presidents with a 14-point lead and the football, but a lot of field to work with.
Oh, yes. And this is tough because the CMU had to field position early in the game. And WJ started handling their business and getting themselves in better position. This is tenuous.
Presidents are on their own sideline when the ball is marked for play, so they'll make their way out. Kobe DeRosa in the backfield now.
More people in the box, 5-man line. This is different.
Pugh in his own end zone, hands to DeRosa, stumbles and gets out to the 2-yard line only, right back to the line of scrimmage. On the other thing here, you want to get your punter a little room, if nothing else, because this is an area, as we've mentioned, that Carnegie Mellon has excelled at.
Yes, indeed.
No gain for DeRosa. Second and 10 at the 2. Pugh passed to the left side to Peduzzi. Inside the McCosco block. Going to get about 5 and goes down at about the 7-yard line. Little room there.
Yeah, good job by McCosco. If he could have got him down just a little bit better, Peduzzi might have been able to get to the stick. Now, again, you don't want to do anything crazy here.
Fourth catch for John Peduzzi. A junior out of Hilton Head Christian. Third and 5 from your own 7-yard line. Pugh, 3-man rush, dumps the ball off, and pass nearly picked off. What? I'm not sure what the referee, Petey Harris, was telling us. Going to be ruled an incomplete pass. I don't know, was there thinking that Pugh tried to stop his throw and the ball came out?
That still wouldn't have required the referee to say anything, but that was interesting.
Well, he could say it was a forward pass, incomplete forward pass, not a fumble.
Nobody reacted like it was a fumble.
Wyatt to punt for the third time, averaging 47 yards a kick and a stoppage by the back judge. And the play clock at 5. Presidents were ready to snap the football. Actually, it was the field judge, Mike Ridgway, who ran in. Now is chatting with the side or the back judge. I think they're going to put 8:55 on the game clock, I think was the number I heard from referee Petey Harris. Good heads up work there by the officiating crew. Got all those things to look at. 10 men on the line of scrimmage for CMU. High snap. Wyatt goes up and gets it and steps out of the back of the end zone. It is a safety. Bad snap from Al Magnelli, the junior out of Sacred Heart. And those 10 men on the line of scrimmage and the CMU reputation likely forced that.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, that's just uncomfortable. You don't want to be in those positions. Kudos to Ben Mills for that great punt and the job that the defense did there.
Well, we talked special teams, and there was a breakdown by W&J. You know, we saw earlier the good work by Jake Mell on the bad snap on the field goal that gave the Presidents the 7-point lead. And now this time we see a bad snap on a special teams play, and it cost the Presidents a couple of points. Now 17-5.
That whole sequence was all about special teams, the punt and then the safety on the bad snap.
And Wyatt is going to punt the ball here, I think. Wyatt, it's a beautiful spiral away. It'll be taken back at the 27-yard line. A lot of room up the hash mark. The return out across the 45-yard line. And now it's Carnegie Mellon with the opportunity.
All in all, that really wasn't a bad punt. Got a good return. It could have been worse. I mean, it really could have been worse.
CMU will start right at midfield. And right back to the President's defense now. W&J with the lead. Slot man comes in motion, quarterback keeper, and nowhere to run. They run that wildcat to Bauma.
Nice play by Keaton Hall up inside.
Bauma loses a yard. That is the second time today he is on that wildcat, lost a yard.
That's WJ did their homework on this Wildcat. They knew it was going to come at some point.
Torched.
Yeah, the, well, before. When you get your fanny kicked really like they did last year with that thing, it'll bring you the attention.
Second and 11. Mills flushed out. Steps, tries to reload, and now is going to run. And slide, caught from behind and brought down, but not before picking up a first down.
That's a big play by Mills. He made something out of really nothing.
For CMU, that's their first down since before the Vasiliotis fumble. Ball to the President's 36, a 15-yard run. Mills with time. Fade down the hash mark. Just a hair overthrown at the goal line. Incomplete. There is a flag down in the backfield. Holding Carnegie Mellon.
Got to take that one.
Yeah, when CMU has a quarterback who just seemed to flick that ball and threw it on a dime to the goal line, you got to take the holding penalty here.
Oh, absolutely.
Ball go back out to the 46. If my memory is correct, first enforced penalty against Carnegie Mellon today. Not been a lot of flags.
No, they're letting them play.
First and 20 at the WJ 46. Mills up under center. Slot man McCullough goes in motion. Long count. Mills does a 360. Pressure. Throws back across. Intercepted almost. Did Keaton Hall squeeze it? And indeed he did.
Well, Mills... Wow, that's a tough read. That's a good play by Keaton Hall. He had Kolke, though, buddy, going to a flag, and he was out ahead of his defenders. I don't think Mills could have got it there. Would have taken a really strong throw.
President's third takeaway of the half. They give up the safety, the good return on the free kick, and the defense takes the ball away. First and 10 Presidents at their own 39-yard line, leading 17-5. 7:34 remaining in the half. First interception for Keaton Hall. Fourth pick in 76 passes thrown by Ben Mills. First and 10 from the 39-yard line. Pugh throws to the left side. Cernuto makes the grab across the 45.
Okay, different look that time, Bob. Three-man line, and they bring two backers. So now they're a little bit more willing to try to take that away. Now you might be able to sneak somebody by if they stay that way.
Five catches on the year for Zach Cernuto. Well, that's 7-yard pickup. Second down and three at the 46. Cernuto motions this way. Pugh hands the ball off, and DeRosa gets the legs just ripped out from under him.
You got to go. You can't hesitate in there. You got to go. You got to get up inside there.
Loss of a yard for DeRosa. Yards rushing for the Presidents today, including the 7-yard loss on the safety.
I would expect them to move Jake Pugh right here.
Third down, we'll call it four now, back at the 45.
Bringing six.
Pugh stands and throws into traffic, and the ball gets through. McCosco cradles it and makes the catch.
Man, you talk about a tight window and an excellent catch by McCosco. Jake Pugh thread the needle right there, man. Tight, tight window.
8-yard completion. And a President's first down. McCosco's second catch. Pugh, I have 9 of 17 for 97 yards and a touchdown. First and 10 at the CMU 47. Blitz picked up. Fly pattern. Paduzzi got behind the coverage. Ball into traffic, and it may have been intercepted. It was. Help over the top from the safety for the pick. Pitzenberger. Help over the top. Paduzzi was gone.
Oh, yeah. Again, I've been saying this all game. They're just not going to let them do it. Now, they're being they were a little bit more aggressive there with bringing backers.
Third interception thrown this year by Jacob Pugh. 5:45 in this back-and-forth possession battle. CMU takes over at its own 13-yard line. W&J has allowed one first down in the game's last 16 minutes. Mills hands it off to Vasiliotis. Started right, went left, started back to the right, and he's wrapped up after a gain of a couple. And give really a pretty good spot here to Vasiliotis out to the 18. Give him 5. 19 yards on 9 carries for Trey Vasiliotis, 5'9", 195-pounder, graduate student at Carnegie Mellon. Second down and 5. Single back with Mills. Play clock at about 15. Mills calls for the snap, sticks it right into the belly of Vasiliotis. Tries to bow back, going to get 4 out to the 22.
Nice little run there.
Carnegie Mellon in a similar situation to what they had a couple of possessions back. Third down and a yard to go. 4:40 remaining in the first half. W&J up 17-5. A little spread to the formation. Empty backfield. Mills on third down and 1. Brings Johnson back across the set. Calls for the snap. Quarterback draw. Going to get the first down and made a couple of guys miss. Into the secondary, up over the 35 to the 39-yard line.
That's a really nice call because W.J. is not expecting him to do that type of thing. Mills is making plays right now.
Actually spot Mills back to the 37, first contact with the ground, but a 15-yard run. He has 47 yards rushing, leading ground gainer today for either team. First and 10. Sixth first down of the day for CMU. Mills sets up, pulls it down, stumbles forward, and does not get back to the line of scrimmage. Tripped up on a diving play from behind, and Dawson Dietz got a handout and is going to get credit for a tackle for loss.
Good coverage by W&J there, and also a good play by Aiden Thomas. Dietz made the Mills move, but Aiden Thomas being around there helped Dietz end up making a play.
Second down and 11. Running play, Vasiliotis dragged down in the backfield.
Guess who? Dawson Dietz blew that play right up. It's a big play for W&J to get them off the field here and take a shot at maybe another field goal.
Loss of 5 on that play. Consecutive plays for negative yardage. Well, I have third down and 16 now. CMU back at its own 31-yard line. Mills looking to pull it down. He's in trouble, and he's going to be sacked.
Dawson Dietz, Keaton Hall, Aiden Thomas, Justin Johns. Pick one, because they were all there.
10-yard loss on the sack.
I don't know if this will hold. The W&J's defensive line is playing a great game.
Mills will line up to punt again. The 59-yard punt previously was his first punt of the year.
You might want to keep him at that role.
And I didn't see a signal for who took the timeout.
W&J took the timeout.
So that's Jay's final timeout?
Oh, I'm sorry. They tried to get one. We have the two-minute timeout.
Oh, thank you. I'm not used to that yet in college game.
I'm not
We don't have it in high school, and I don't pay enough attention to NFL. And it's not the two-minute warning. In college, no. It's the two-minute timeout.
Yes, I learned that on the first day. It's first Saturday of the year.
W&J 17, Carnegie Mellon 5. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
This is Coach Guy Monacalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
We are 28 minutes into this opening half of the final President's Athletic Conference meeting between Washington and Jefferson College and Carnegie Mellon. CMU has won the last four meetings between these two teams and is one of a very, very limited group of teams the Presidents have played more than a handful of times that owns a winning record against them.
They are one of the few. No question about it.
And the decision announced early in September, that the Tartans are going to be leaving the conference, have been an affiliate member for football only since returning in 2014, and W&J looking to give them a little parting gift, a number that's not a zero in the loss column, but a long way to go. Pressure to kick is away by Mills, kicks it toward the sideline. Takes another bounce and goes out of bounds right around the President's 40. So a little more than half the field to work with, and 1:53 remaining on the clock. But serviceable, useful punt there by Mills.
It was. You don't want to go into the locker rooms with any less of a lead than 12. So I don't know about taking it. I know there's 1:53 left. If you can get some big play early in this drive, fine. But I wouldn't press the issue here. I'd take my 12-point lead.
CMU is going to get the ball to start the second half. W&J received the opening kickoff. Patricic in the backfield.
That would suggest to me that W&J is going to run the football.
Three-man front for the Tartans. First and 10 from the 40. Patricic takes the handoff. Slip backfield contact and powers forward for 7.
That's what you want right there. And at the same time, take some time off the clock.
They'll make it 6. They back the ball up to the 46-yard line. Patricic, President's leading rusher for the season. Now at about a 180. On 24 carries, gets the call again and running left, has room, 50, 45, cuts back to contact and goes down at the 40.
Now you can think about it.
14 yards on that run, the 10th W&J first down of the half. 1:15 and counting left here before intermission. Pugh to put it up, rolls to his right, throws the ball deep for McCosco, turns around, makes the catch inside the 15 and
wow,
out of bounds.
What a great spin by McCosco to find a football, and it's right there. He had to do it or it was going to be incomplete, but that was the safest place to throw it.
Timeout CMU, ball at the 11-yard line, first and 10 on the 29-yard pass play.
They must stop W&J. They do not want that. Field goal fine. They don't want to go down 24-5.
10th completion of the game for Jake Pugh. I have 10 of 19 unofficially.
W&J still has one timeout left.
By the way, the catch for McCosco, his third of the afternoon. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a lot of celebration, regardless of the situation with Jake McCosco today. The two unsportsmanlike penalties a week ago, you know, and he's been ejected in two of his last five games, I think.
Yes.
If my memory is correct, and you know, you just can't put your team in that kind
circumstance. You have to learn your lessons. Okay.
Pass play underneath. Pass goes complete to Raymond Holmes, who gets his way to the boundary. Going to be spotted down inbounds, though. The clock will run.
That's okay.
little sidearm sling there for 4 yards to the 7.
Now you might try up inside again with Patricic. You don't want time on his clock. Take it down. Still got a timeout left.
Second catch of the year for Holmes. Second down and 6 at the 7. Pugh passed to the left side. Cernuto was open. He stumbled when he realized the ball was a little high. He stumbled to try to set himself up and then never did get his feet under it.
It was the right call. It was there. He's going to walk in. Yeah. He's going to walk in.
Third and 6 at the Carnegie Mellon 7. 17-5. W&J with the lead. 32.6 seconds to play. Can get a first down. You don't want to use your timeout here with the clock stopped. President sideline signaling the play in. 10 on the play clock. McCosco making his way outside of Peduzzi. And now goes in motion. Snap. Pugh rolls, dumps the ball off, passes caught. McCosco, touchdown.
Huge play. Huge play.
Second TD pass of the afternoon, the 16th touchdown pass of the season, 5 caught by Jake McCosco. Extra point attempt, Devin Wyatt. Snap, holder, good, a little pressure coming from the left side, but kick gets across, up and good. 27 seconds to play in the half. W&J 24, Carnegie Mellon 5. Back in just a moment here on the WJPA Sports Network.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Typically, it's the resident's son or daughter that start the process. They may come to us and they may take a tour by themselves first before mom and dad knows. That's a very intricate transition, as you know, moving your loved one from their house to a personal care home. We treat everyone like family. We have caregivers who take care of the frontline bathing and hygiene, med techs who pass the medications, and we have supervisors that oversee both of those areas, as well as a resident coordinator and a chef in each building. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Oh, boy.
Campbell's kickoff. DJ Johnson takes it and ran up the middle of the field with nobody around him, and he's going to bring this clear out across the 40-yard line before the Presidents get him corralled to the sideline. Campbell just didn't get enough of that and get it to the end zone. But on the other side, it took almost 10 seconds off the clock as well. CMU has one timeout left. And if you're W&J, you got to get a stop here, right? You do not want to give any momentum because CMU is going to get the ball to start the second half as well.
No, you've got a nice lead right now. You want to maintain it.
Tartans first and 10 at their own 45-yard line. Mills hands the ball off. Vasiliotis runs it around the right side. Got popped right at the sideline. And Makai Simmons, a little pop there, right still in the green. Gain of 6 on the run to the President's 49. Clock down to 13 seconds to play. And now the President's secondary going to be challenged to nobody gets deeper than you. Mills hands to Vasiliotis running right, and he's going to get the stopped a yard short of the first down marker. The Tartans use their final timeout with 7 seconds to play in the half.
This will be interesting. No timeouts left. Are they going to throw here? Will they run?
All right, Coach, you played the game. What do you do?
With no timeouts left, if you're really trying to score here, you got to throw the ball, I think.
then you have to throw sideline, don't you? Or you got to go for the get downs.
Yeah, you could do go for it right now, actually, if you wanted to.
Well, we saw earlier the ability, and at the time I said just flick the ball and he threw it 35 yards. Mills can certainly throw it. You know, do you set up and?
Well, the one thing I think and it, why they ran the ball the first two plays, I think they're concerned with the pass rush. Now, if you can get him and make him fumble and somebody can scoops or whatever, I'm not going to be greedy here.
Third down and a yard to go for Carnegie Mellon with 7.4 seconds to play.
WJ's playing it straight. They're not putting any extra people in there.
Guy that knows a little bit about big games. Get a chance to talk to Pat Agner at the half. Looking forward to that. Now they put a little time back on the clock. 8.2 on the clock. Get two plays if you get to the sideline right away. Mills letting people get downfield pressure, and Mills is going to be swallowed up and sacked.
That's just what I said they were worried about. Tell me who that was again. Was that 58?
A loss back to the CMU 45, a loss of 9 in the end of the first half.
My son corrected me. I think he said Keith gets the sack there.
So we are at the half. Why don't you pull up a chair there, Mr. Agner?
Here comes some legends, buddy, right there.
Oh, my. Big celebration today for 84-94-04.
We got the main legend here, the Trigger Man.
Pat Agner's with us here in the booth. And get a chance to run back through this first half in a few minutes. We're going to talk to Pat first. We're going to get a news update, and then we'll go back through and get you this first half recap. But, Pat, thanks for coming up and chatting with us. My goodness, it's great to see you.
Outstanding. It's nice to be with you guys, too. It's like old home week. It's nice to see our friends.
How could it be 35-plus years ago? How is that possible?
You know, for all of us in our age range, time just seems to float on by. But, you know, when you come back, it really does stir the emotions. You don't feel like it's been that long, and you see lots of great faces, friends, especially those on the field right now.
Those guys representing the 1984 team, John and I have talked about this. That's the team that turned the corner, that got what's happened now for 40 years, what got that in place.
No question. They are definitely the pioneers of, you know, John and I were talking a couple of days ago. Those guys were the pioneers. Coach Luckhart, Coach Duquette, and their staff really kind of set the unparalleled commitment and tradition of excellence that W&J football is about now. The winning percentage over 40 years is north of 800. It's inspiring, and it's because of the people on the field right now.
John Luckhart alone, maybe appropriately, because he is unparalleled. He has rebuilt two football programs in this county at college in D3 and in D2 in his work at California University of Pennsylvania. Tony can't turn out there to congratulate Lucky, and both John and I have the opportunity regularly to chat with Lucky, and certainly I value that friendship. I want to go to 87 now. John and I have talked about this matchup in 87, the greatest college football game that either of us, he or I, have been around. There are people that call it the best President's Athletic Conference game ever. There are people who say it was the best Division III football game ever. Your memories of that day in Oakland?
You know, my memories are, I have to give Carnegie Mellon a lot of credit. They had an outstanding football team that year. Mike Hensel was their quarterback. He was outstanding. They had a lot of great football players on their team that year, too. My memories are we really didn't play well in the first half. We went into halftime feeling like, you know, we had a lot of better football ahead of us. But you know, A.J. Pagano, always led by his action, not by his words. At halftime, he made some comments and inspired us with those comments. I've never seen one person at any level of football, college, pro, you know, high school, dominate one football game the way 43 did in that football game. Never since, never have. I don't care if it's Bo Jackson or anyone. A.J. Pagano was incredible.
He wasn't a talker. So what did it mean at halftime that he was talking?
It was because he didn't say much. When he did, you could have heard a pin drop in that locker room. You know, and it was better than any Newt Rockne speech. You know, he inspired everyone because everybody respected his play, and he usually didn't say much. So when he did, we listened, we went out there, and we really were a team possessed in the second half.
Move us now, first round of the playoffs. We all survived the blizzard and all of that, and then somehow one of the greatest sports quotes we've ever heard followed the game when John Lockhart said that you were out there throwing melon balls over a frozen tundra.
You know, I saw that quote, and Lucky had a way with words.
Not all of them we could use on the radio, just saying.
Some of them had to be beeped out, but, you know, Lucky had a way with words, but the one thing about that game, I told somebody just today, I said, you know, I would rather play in any other weather than rain. I said, I don't mind playing in snow, you know, in that game. But that team, and I've appreciated it over time now, we were down with less than a minute left to play three times that year, and we came back and won all three because of great players and because nobody was ever out of the game until the last whistle.
You know, that wasn't a great day for A.J. He fumbled four times. But you know what? And I know you feel this because we talked about this. When you got the last chance, when they were up eight, and there was 50 or 49 seconds, a number that was ominous all year, I had no doubt, and I know you had no doubt, that you were going down and scoring. And then you and Duke decided you're on the same play the other way, much to the objection of Lucky.
Oh, yeah.
He was more wide open on the two-point conversion.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the one thing that, because I had such tremendous confidence in my teammates, and we had either an All-American or an All-Conference player at every position. We had outstanding talent. So it wasn't a matter of if we were going to score, it was when. And I told Coach Duquette on the way out, I said, get a two-point play ready because there is no question we're going to score before the end of this football game.
You also were a part of baseball history happening here at W&J as well. You know, we don't hear much about two sport athletes in college at any level, and you know, you were part of that PAC championship year.
Very fortunate to be able to have the ability to play two sports, and I was a two sport athlete in high school. But when Coach Lockhart approached me about being a part of the baseball team, I'm like, okay. And, you know, he was the baseball coach at that time, too, and we had never won a PAC title. But Coach Lockhart had the same way of coaching baseball as he did with football. He had tremendous confidence in his leaders. You know, he was a man who could tell you what the ultimate goal was, but he trusted his leader to get you there. And he did the same on the baseball field. Loved playing for him, and the results speak for themselves.
Don't let this guy fool you. You know, as great a quarterback as he was,
he's catcher.
On a half a, what, century team, and the PAC's all-century team, all, half a century team in baseball? I mean, that you're looking at one of the legends of WJ right here, buddy.
Well, I've said it many times, you know, and I was telling the kids yesterday, you know, when things go well, and they go well a lot at WJ then and now because of great people at the front, great players, great coaches, great support staff, great coverage from the local media, you know, great support from the college, great support from the student at the college. You can see it today. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens it takes a village, and that's what you have at Washington and Jefferson College. And there's no doubt why they're successful on and off the field. It's because of all of it.
You talked about things go well often here. There were times when things weren't going so well. What was lucky like in those darker moments? There was still light, but I mean, what was he like then?
You know, he had a way of motivating you. You know, and make no mistake, whether you win 58-0 or you lose 58-0, there's always going to be bad moments during a game. He had a way to get your attention. And, you know, usually it involved taking his baseball hat and flipping it around backwards. And when you got close, you probably got a little bit of a spray from Lockhart.
Gave you the news and the weather.
He did the news and the weather, and usually it was raining that moment. But one thing I was always told, and this was something I took it a bit of wisdom, I probably threw a couple interceptions during 4 years at W&J, and wherever Lockhart was, I ran to the opposite end of the sideline because I'm sure somebody else was going to grab his attention before he got to me.
One of the things that by many people gets overlooked or not even really thought about was that John Lockhart was a magnet for people, for coaches who may have been head coach in high school, and maybe they got tired of that. Maybe they weren't as successful as some parents wanted them to be or whatever. But he found a way to plug in those people into position coaches, into meetings, into film breakdown guys. He was a magnet of people.
No question. He had. We've all been around long enough to know who has charisma and who doesn't. Coach Lockhart is an attractor of good quality people. You know, he's a great guy at the top because he knows what he needs to succeed, and he surrounds himself with those types of people. I mean, make no mistake, if you look down on the sideline right now, he creates a family environment to where not many times do you see people from 35, 40 years ago coming back for a football game just so they can spend time with their coach, with their teammates. That doesn't happen by mistake. Coach Lockhart, Coach Duquette, they created a family environment. That's why you went off the field, and that's why you went on the field.
All right, I want to fast forward to today. A couple of the things. One, thank you for your public service. I know you've retired from your work wearing the blue, and all of us are appreciative of that work that you did for all those years. But back here today, given the circumstances that for some reason homecoming got scheduled on this day against this program, leading 24-5 here at the half, what would it mean to Pat Agner for this score to hold up and the Presidents get the win and show CMU the door, dragging a loss on the way out?
You know, I would look at it like the Steelers beating the Ravens, like the Cowboys or the Redskins beating each other. It's a natural rivalry. Make no mistake, every year in big red lettering, we knew that it was Carnegie Mellon week. You know, and a lot of respect. They run a great program. They have a great history. But to answer your question, Bob, at 24-5, maybe we increase that by another 20 points and keep them at 5. Maybe 44-5 would be a nice round number to send them packing back to Oakland and say, have a nice evening.
Listen, the guy that delivered the speech yesterday after practice is sitting beside us here. I kind of know what he was going to say. Did you end up telling him what you were going to tell him?
Well, I told him a few things, one of which is I told Jacob Pugh after the practice, I said, look, number one, you got to win a big game. I said, make no mistake, I love winning 58-0. I love big win, but I said, I can tell you that tomorrow's not going to be that easy. And I said, to win, you cannot be afraid to lose. You cannot go out there with just, you know, the feeling of, well, you know, let's play not to lose. There's a big difference between the two, and push the lead further.
You know, he's here because he was always willing in high school to cowboy up, like, let's go.
Oh yeah.
You know, he has. What is it about you guys? You were the same way. You weren't afraid to lose. You weren't ever afraid to lose.
Nope.
You stared at that danger in the eye and made it blink. What is it about you guys that does that?
You know, I think it comes down to just either you have that mentality or not. You know that it's a numbers game. If you play this game long enough, you're going to suffer a setback or two, and nobody has promised a bump-free game, and you're not promised a bump-free life. And when you run into a trouble, it's your response to the trouble. You know, that's in a game, you're going to run into, they had a safety. What really happened after that was important. They were able to get a stop, and they pushed the lead deeper into halftime instead of letting Carnegie Mellon get back in the game.
Not only did they get the safety, but they got a big return on the kick. They got the ball at midfield.
No question. So you're working on a short field. So you got to be able to push them back, and that's what they did. That was a big stop.
Pat, it is always great to hear from you. It's even better to see you and have you join us here at halftime. Congratulations and thank you from all of us W&J fans from all these years that have rolled on by somehow or other. Thank you for those memories that, you know, we can still smile. We look back and, yeah, there's a couple of those, 4th down and 13 here. There's a couple of those that bring the tear out and the little lump in the throat. But, man, there's a lot of smiles when we look back at your time here.
No question. You know, and I have those same feelings. I mean, these guys that you're seeing lined up across the sideline, a lot of those guys are family. A lot of those guys are family because I came to this college at that time, and I had the relationships that I have with the two of you in the box and a bunch of people on the field right now, and that doesn't happen everywhere. And make no mistake, every day I'm grateful for all my time here, and we're still friends after all these decades.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to have join us here in the booth, Pat Agner. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Great story.
We're at the half. It is 24-5. W&J leading Carnegie Mellon. We're going to take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll get you a recap of how we got to where we are right now.
Don't fall behind on your home improvement projects. Let First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County help you with the heavy lifting before winter. First Federal gives you all the tools you need with FHA Title I home improvement, home equity, construction, and owner-builder loans. With offices in Washington, Greene, and Fayette counties, your loan stays here. Apply in person or anytime online at ffgc.bank. First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 458729.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
This is Coach Guy Monacalvo for the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Greene Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Welcome back to Cameron Stadium. Both teams are out on the field getting their loose and warm-up stuff. Let's take you back through what happened in this first half. W&J got a first down on their initial possession but ended up punting the ball away. Carnegie Mellon took over at their own 43, converted a third down, then a fourth down, picked up three first downs on the possession, had a first and 10 at the J-13 with two incomplete passes and a one-yard loss on a completion. Brought up fourth down and out to Justin Caputo, the junior out of South Fayette, boots a 32-yard field goal. 8:01 to play in the first quarter. Carnegie Mellon led 3-0. Teams exchange possessions. W&J three plays and a punt. Carnegie Mellon converts another third down. Had it first and 10 at the W&J 30. I'm sorry, at the CMU 31, and on second and 6. Trey Vasiliotis was tackled by Justin Johns, who knocked the ball out, and the Presidents recover it. They go right up top. A couple of pass plays, Pew to Peduzzi for 20, and right back to Peduzzi, wide open on the right side, and sprint to the pylon, 14-yard touchdown. W&J took a 7-3 lead with Devin Wyant's extra point, 3:11 to play in the first. Presidents kick off. D.J. Johnson hammered on the as he got to the 20-yard line and fumbled the football. The Presidents recover, unable to move the sticks, and settle for a 39-yard Wyatt field goal. Great job by Jake Mell. Not a good snap, and he was able to tee it up, and Wyatt boots it home from 39 yards out. Presidents up the lead to 10-3. Defense holds. Presidents get the ball back at their own 33-yard line. They go 67 yards in seven plays. Great mix of run and pass. A nice little scramble play early in the possession. Pugh in trouble and able to dump the ball off backwards to Owen Patricic, who rumbled for 43 yards. And then a couple of pass plays, Rosati, Peduzzi on grabs, and then Patricic runs standing up 11 yards into the end zone. Never did go down. Wyatt's extra point took us to 17-3. Still 12 and a half minutes to play in the first half. Again, Carnegie Mellon, three plays and a punt. The Tartans had not picked up a first down since the Vasiliadis fumble with about 4 minutes remaining in that quarter. We're now at about 10 minutes remaining. But after that three plays, the punt with Ben Mills on fourth down and one, Mills stays in the game and punts the ball, and he gets a great roll, and the ball downed at the President's 2-yard line, 59-yard punt. After picking up a few yards but forced to punt themselves, bad snap to Devin Wyatt. He had to go high in the air, and as he caught it and did a little drop step, he stepped out of bounds in the back of the end zone for a Carnegie Mellon safety that brought us to 17-5. Not quite yet, halfway through that second quarter. Tartans did move the sticks, but Keaton Hall ducks underneath a pass thrown by Ben Mills, who was being pressured and tried to throw the ball back into the middle of the field. Keaton Hall's first interception of the year, the President's third takeaway of the day, thwarted that situation. WJ then threw it back. They had Peduzzi behind the cornerback, but the safety over the top, Pitzenberger, came over the top and made the interception. Teams then traded possessions. WJ gets the stop, another Mills punt, but a great possession for WJ to close the half. 60 yards, six plays. Pugh to McCosco for the touchdown, the extra point kick by Wyatt, and WJ ready to defend a 24-5 lead at the break. I have the Presidents with 190 yards total offense. I didn't check the official stats, but I have 53 rush, 137 through the air. I have Carnegie Mellon at 67 yards on the ground and 25 yards passing. So a little under 100 yards total offense, somewhere in that general vicinity.
Don't have to be gaudy stats. Those are quite good enough. 192.5, that's good business. WJ just got to do what they did. Limit the penalties. No turnovers. Get a stop right off the bat here. Put it in the end zone. And I'm not saying the game's put away, but they take a big, big leg up on it.
Liam Campbell to kick off. And he'll line drive this one. Johnson's going to take it at the 5-yard line, right up the hash marks, near side, 20, 25. Flags flying from all over the field. And Johnson goes down, and now another flag comes in as well.
They were flying everywhere.
Well, four flags on one block, and then after that, another flag came in. Holding against the return team. And that apparently is going to be the only foul. So it's like we're going to go clear back to the 20 and mark it off to the 10.
That was seen by everybody.
Well, maybe not quite to the 10. Hey, where are we going here, fellas? Okay, we're going to go to the 14-yard line of CMU after the return. We'll have it shy of their own 15. Tartans first and 10. Mills hands it off to Vasiliadis, trying to come wide. Got turned back in, gets a yard.
Nice job by the defensive end. Clean up by Justin Johns.
Kadosh Harris got wide and made Vasiliadis turn back inside. Well, here's a sight you don't want to see. Avery Keith is down. Looked like he's trying to stretch out a cramp, but now Not sure that's exactly what the problem is.
Kadosh Harris hasn't had his name called today just for whatever reasons, but he's playing an excellent football game. He really, truly is.
2-yard run for Vasiliadis. The attention right now to Avery Keith.
I have some scores for you across the country. Ithaca, these are finals. Ithaca 38, Curry 13. Endicott, very highly ranked, 28. RPI, 20. Albion, 42. Trine, 14. PAC score final, Waynesburg, 21. St. Vincent, 7. Highly rated, Susquehanna, 34. West New England, 21. Mountain Union, 31. BW, 10.
Kudos to the Yellow Jackets. Their first win of the year. Keith to the sideline under his own power, and a little hop and a little jump there, so he's good to go. Second down and 8 from the 16. Mills down the seam. Pass is caught midfield and running away, stumbling inside the 20. Kolke going to take this one for a touchdown.
That's exactly what you didn't want to happen. Big play. Very big play by CMU. They're not going away. You know that.
10th touchdown pass of the year thrown by Ben Mills. And that ball right on target. The cover a bit tardy turning back to see the ball. And Kulke made the grab. I believe it was Makai Simmons. And Simmons got a hand on the back, but Kulke got his balance and took it to the house.
Sure did. Big, big play for CMU. They needed that big time.
Caputo with the extra point kick up and good. 14-19 to play third quarter. CMU right back into it. 24-12. Presidents with the lead. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Nowadays, personal care homes aren't like what they used to be 15 years ago. They were called homes. And once you went there, you didn't come back. Our goal is to take care of your loved one, provide skilled occupational therapy, physical therapy, get them doing the best that they can do. And it's always an option to go home if it's appropriate. You can get all your services completed, home health, hospice, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech. We can do it all in-house. Evergreen's able to provide a well-staffed, above-staffed environment with highly educated, highly trained staff. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Jack Novell to kick it off. It's going to be taken on a fair catch by Troy Volpatti back at the 1-yard line. Here's the situation, Mark. John, the president has got that late touchdown in the first half to push the lead to 19. They give the touchdown up here early in the third quarter to cut it back to 12. In essence, we're right where we were when the president's got the ball back.
True, but you don't want that to happen that dramatically.
No, you don't.
Especially when you get a big break on the kickoff as well. But here's the thing. Stick with what's working, run the football, and get back on the beam.
DeRosa takes the handoff coming right. Forward for 3, almost 4 yards on the play.
You're going to get punched in the face. I mean, that's going to happen. It's how you respond.
Kobe DeRosa with a run good for 4.
Just a quick PAC score. First quarter, Case Western Reserve, 7, Geneva, 0.
Coach in the house. Pass play is tipped, and it's going to find the ground. McCosco making sure that ball didn't get picked off. Jacob Franz trying to jump that and take over. But good work there by McCosco to block that. But now the president's in a third down and 6. Rosati motions to Tripp's left. Three-man rush. Pugh slides to the near side. Throws the ball, finds a man open across the 40, 45. It's Peduzzi coming across.
Great work by WJ's offensive line. Kept him clean. 42 up from the Tartans. Vince Cece, who's been active all day, drawing down on Jake Pugh, but he found Peduzzi, who kept running the route. That's a big first down.
20-yard pickup and a move of the sticks. Pugh at the half, officially 11 of 18 for 132.
A little bit of different defense right now, CMU.
Running play, DeRozan just doesn't hit up in there, trying to let something open, and it's not opening. Gain of a yard.
I've said it all day. I said it at the beginning. You have to go up in there and run and not try to find holes. Go to it. Get up inside.
I think that's partly why we saw the success of Owen Patricic. That's what he did. Patricic, the game's leading rusher, with 45 yards on his six first-half carries. Second down and nine right at midfield, 24-12 Presidents. Blitz coming, picked up. Pugh, sideline ball, caught by McCosko, steps out of bounds near the 40. First down. Pass play good for 10. Five catches on the day for McCosko. Peduzzi has five grabs.
May try to get DeRosa out on the perimeter in a pass game here.
Fake the toss to DeRosa. Pugh on the keeper. Paid the price right at the line of scrimmage, but bounced off of that and got three.
That might have just set up what I said before, looking at him on the outside there in the pass game. You can't do that all day with Jake. You don't want him taking those kind of hits, but you do have to use it. It's a weapon.
Second carry of the day for Pugh, 7 yards for the senior quarterback. And we talked, Pat Agner talked in a halftime about what he told Jake, you got to go win a game, and you got to win a big game. You know, blowouts are all cool and everything, but you got to go win a big game. Peduzzi slips the coverage and gets inside the 25. Pugh put the ball right on the money.
He sure did. He sure did. And I talked about conflicting this linebackers. Much of what WJ's done in the pass game today has made them conflicted.
Six catches for 93 yards for John Peduzzi. First and 10 at the 23. Pugh fakes to DeRosa and then throws the ball around the ankles of Cernuto. I think that pass went exactly where Pugh meant for it to go.
Yeah, I do too, because he had Rosati behind the guy, but that's exactly where he intended to throw that pass. You
know, he had Rosati, but he was also sensing the breathing coming down the back of his neck.
He definitely did. There's no question.
We're going to get you here in a little bit, Luck. Second down and 10 at the 23. Trips to the right for Pugh. Blitz coming, picked up. Throw the ball for McCosko into traffic. Tipped away at the last second in the end zone. Incomplete.
Good coverage. Really good coverage.
And now the defensive back lost his hat, and McCosko gets up a little limping. The D-back's got to go out for at least a play there was no foul.
He's going. And as old Dandy Don Merrith used to say, I'm going to find out right now why he's second team.
Raymond Holmes comes in. Rosati goes out. Presidents with a third and 10 at the CMU 23-yard line. 10:51 to play third quarter. CMU scored in the third quarter's opening minute to get back to within 12.
CMU's taking away the shorter passes right now in the defense they're playing. Not like the first half.
DeRosa releases, pass to DeRosa, caught at the 20, fights his way shy of the 15-yard line. It's going to bring up fourth down.
Well, you can take the three and take a 15-point lead, but, boy, the seven would look real good if they can get it.
8-yard pickup needed 10. Offense stays on the field.
I'm wondering why Well, I can see why.
It's now fourth down and two at the 15. Two receivers, Peduzzi and McCosko, stacked to the left. Pass play to McCosko. Makes the grab behind the line. Gets to the 10, and he's just going to kind of go down there. He was running really with one leg because the tackler had to hold solid on the other one. But it's a first down.
No, I don't want to be second-guessing Coach Mike, but Patricia's got to be in a game for me right now.
It is first and goal at the 10, and McCosko is wide out to the near side, but he is not full speed in any fashion. Jackson LaJoy covering him after getting his helmet back on. DeRosa took a big pop inside the 8-yard line.
Yes, he did.
Going to get a couple there, but clock turning. 9 minutes and change remaining in the third. Well, I think if presidents are just fine to need four plays to punch this in here, they'll be happy with that.
There's no reason to be going fast. It really isn't.
And they're not.
No.
Kudos to Coach Mike. You know how I'm all over that normally. You got a 12-point lead in the third. There's no rush. Pugh stands clean in the pocket, rolls out, now runs into pressure, and a flag is down wide open. Cernuto in the end zone, catches the ball, but the president's going to get called for pushing the back.
I don't think it's a holding. I think it's legal pushing the back. They're calling it a holding.
Call a hold. I'll take the ball out to the 18-yard line. Just a second penalty enforced against the presidents today.
That was a well-conceived play. Well-conceived play.
The ball out to the 18. Second down and goal from there. Cernuto got open in the end zone at the sideline, and Pugh put the ball right there.
Look, if you're going to extend your arms and the referee's going to see it, he's calling it, I guarantee you. I played line.
Pugh forced to roll out, keeps his feet, throws the ball deep in the back corner of the end zone, and just too far for Peduzzi, incomplete.
Well, that's better than anything else, really, on that play. A lot of bad stuff could have happened.
Third and goal now at the 18. And now you got to start to think, okay, we got to get something here to help Wyatt here should we need this field goal. But Coach Mike not always about the guy about, you know, needing less than 18 yards here. Blitz coming. Pugh throws it back on the screen. Get to Peduzzi, to the blockers, to the 5, and down at about the 5-yard line. It'll bring up fourth down and goal, and here comes the field goal unit.
Have to.
13 yards on little middle screen.
Devin Peduzzi's got a problem there. Peduzzi's down on the sideline.
It looks like cramps.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Mel to hold. Gets a good snap. Pressure from the left side, and it's blocked. Boy, special teams. CMU has mastered that for years, and they blocked this field goal attempt. Not well protected to the kicker's left. .758 to play in the third. WNJ 24, Carnegie Mellon 12. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
This is Coach Guy Monticalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
With school back in session, now's the perfect time to plan for the future. Open an Education Club savings account at First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County and let your future dreams start adding up. Plus, you may qualify for a scholarship upon high school graduation. Visit any First Federal branch or online at ffgc.bank for rules and scholarship eligibility. First Federal, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS 458-729. First Federal wishes all student-athletes best of luck this season.
President's drive from their own 25-yard line and get a first and goal at the CMU 10. The drive stalls out there thanks to that holding penalty and then the breakdown in protection from Wyant's left. The kick blocked, and the Presidents get nothing. They do take 6 minutes and change off the clock, but still holding on to a 12-point lead.
Well, again, big plays. You want to avoid that. Well, so WJ's got to redeem himself here defensively.
Well, think about the special teams plays today. The safety after the Mills punt that pinned Presidents deep, the free kick and a big return to midfield, and now the blocked field goal. CMU first and 10 from its own 20-yard line. Mills to put it up. Looks it, swings it out of the backfield. Pass is caught shy of the line of scrimmage, and the carry out over the 20 to about the 23. The Ciliotis on the grab.
Just a little swing pass there. 2 yard gain.
Ben Mills, just 6 completions today out of 12 passes, but 116 yards, 84 of that, the last pass that he threw that went for a touchdown. Trips coming to the near side, 2nd down and 7. Tartans at their own 23. Mills sends Everett in motion back the other way. Hands it off. Vasiliotis right side. First down across the 30 to the 33-yard line.
It's a little inside play. They blocked it very well. Had a lane for Vasiliotis, and he gets the first down.
10-yard run for the most experienced running back for Carnegie Mellon. First and 10 from the 33. This time it's coming near side. All kind of room. Vasiliotis out across the 45. First down.
Great job of sealing the end. Sealing the linebacker. CMU got it going right now up front.
And in a hurry.
Something they didn't do in the first half very well, but they sure are doing it right now.
Right to the line of scrimmage. First and 10 from the 46-yard line. Digging out of a hole early. Vasiliotis cut back. Forward for about 4 near midfield. Team carries this afternoon for Trey Vasiliotis.
Yes, he's been their go-to guy. You just start to wonder now, is the size of CMU starting to take hold?
2nd and 6. Mills rolls to his right. Pulls it down and will run, is dragged down, and it will do well just to get back to the line of scrimmage. No gain.
Great pursuit by Justin Johns. He read it. I think Mills thought he had a shot at the first down there, but Justin Johns' dogged pursuit made a difference.
Third down and 6.
Big play.
Empty backfield for Mills. Stands there long time. Gets the snap. Quarterback draw, and he's in trouble and swallowed up again.
58, baby. He's an All-American for a reason. Great play as well. Great, great penetration by Aiden Thomas. He's playing a fine game, too.
Loss of 5 on the sack, and it's 4th and 10. Well, President's defense does the job. Under 5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. 24-12. Mills has gotten off a couple of dandy punts. Nothing better than that 59-yard effort. Rolls, just chips it out of there. Rosati going to come and chase it inside the 15. Can't get back to the big right hook. And it's going to roll dead to the President's 4-yard line.
Once again, big special teams.
51-yard punt and no return.
Excellent punt. Yeah, Rosati came up and it took a turn on him, and really not much he could do about it.
Well, and nothing he should do about it at that point.
No.
But W&J will start shy of its own 5-yard line for the second time today. Leading 24-12. President's offense still gathered around Coach Sirianni. Now the ball marked ready, and they'll make their way to the line of scrimmage.
Patricic back in for W&J.
That was really the spark in the first half.
Both
offensive stuff turned around at that point.
Right. McCosco seems to be okay. Paduzzi seems to be okay.
Cullen over the football.
CMU's back to the defense they used in the first half.
Running play left side. Patricic going to get 2 to the 6 and nothing more. Second and 8. Play clock just under 30. President standing there at the line of scrimmage. Receivers flipping sides. Paduzzi joining McCosco wide this way along with Rosati, and now Cernuto up on the line of scrimmage and a tight end left. Second down and 8. Play clock at 8. 3-man, make it a 4-man rush. Pugh sets and throws flag down in the backfield. Rosati makes the catch
and
goes
down
to 10.
That's going to be a safety.
Holding in the end zone, if that's the call.
That's going to be a safety.
Holding against the Presidents. And it is indeed a safety. That'll cut the lead to 10.
Special teams has been a big part of this. You called it early in the game.
Holding in the end zone. Safety. Two Ben Mills punts have pinned the Presidents shy of their own 5, and both of those situations have ended up with 2 points for the Tartans. 24-14 the count now with 3:35 to play here in the third quarter. And obviously an expensive holding penalty there. So 3:35 to play in the third. CMU going to get good field position out of this situation. And the lead now down to 10.
Now they're going to kick it off.
Well, and now you say to Liam Campbell, you got to put your foot to this one. And DJ Johnson is going to back up. Campbell given the go-ahead by referee P.D. Harris. He'll hang this one up in the air. Johnson will settle under it at the 20, right up the hash, 25-30. Seam in the middle, 40, 45, midfield, and finally at the President's 40-yard line.
Big return. Again, special teams. CMU is winning the world on special teams.
40-yard return of the free kick.
And I would be very wary of them going straight up top right now.
Presidents, who have an unbelievable record when leading at half, have not come out very well here after intermission. Really an outstanding 14-play drive that netted 0.
Well, that was the killer. I mean,
special teams play there. First and 10 at the J, 40-yard line. Mills hands to Vasiliotis. Cut back, trying to find a lane. Looking for a block, stumbles forward and gets 4, but President's forced him to abandon the run to the right and turns it into a 4-yard gain.
I think Keaton Hall's injured. He made a good tackle there.
And with that, a break in the action. W&J 24, Carnegie Mellon 14, 3:07 to play third quarter. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
I think it was Angelo Volamino, the injured defensive back for the Presidents. The junior out of Thomas Jefferson gets to his feet and makes his way this way. 24-14, John, how do you turn this?
Got to make a stop. That's the one thing, because if you get them within three, now they got all the momentum. Look, the play of the third quarter is to block field goal and then the punt. I mean, it's special teams play. You are in bad shape when you're trying to start a drive inside your own five. But to not come up with at least three there, that's tough. I mean, that's because that was a good drive. I mean, it really was a good drive.
And they had six, but the holding penalty negated that. And you know, without the hold, you know, you don't know that they get the six anyway. And
I don't think it was holding. I think you pushed him. But I'm going to tell you this as an old lineman: if they see you and your arms are that extended, you're getting called for holding. I mean, that's just what it's going to be.
Second down and six at the J 36-yard line. Clock will turn from 3:07. Empty backfield. Tight end and flanker this way. Three receivers to the right. Mills looks it over, calls for the snap, and drops and rolls to his right. Sets and throws the deep ball. Looking down the field. Touchdown. Wide open. Colkey got beyond the coverage, and all of a sudden, it's a one-play game.
Now, I'm going to say this. If you're going to call the other kind of holding, I mean, they had Dawson deep by his shirt. So let's be consistent here. Volpe, he is giving him W&J fits right now. Fits.
Kuki, 36-yard grab from Mills. Second touchdown. Third touchdown of the year. Second of the game. Extra point kick. Line drive through by Caputo. Don't look now. WJ 24, Carnegie Mellon 21, 2:49 to play in the third quarter. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Extra point kick.
I'm not losing anything.
Good by Justin Caputo. And it is 24-21. W&J led 24-5 at the end of the first half. But it has been really strong third quarter for Carnegie Mellon. Long touchdown passes to Kuhlke, plus the safety and the blocked field goal, and the kickoff into the end zone for the touchback. W&J will take over to 25. And now you got to move the ball.
Absolutely, and I would try to do that by running it. W&J got in a good rhythm running the ball in the back part of the first quarter and into the second. But you have to run it appropriately. You have to get up in the holes.
Presidents first and 10 at their own 25. Owen Patricic in the backfield with Jake Pugh. Patricic takes the handoff. Nice cut up over the 30. Try to make another move and going to get about 9.5. Is he going to get 10? Yes, he is.
Nice run. Nice cut. once he got to the second level, as I've been saying, that's when you can do whatever you need to do, but you got to get up in there.
Eight carries for 57 yards. You do the math, that's 7-plus per carry today. First and 10 from the 35-yard line, 2:15 remaining in the third quarter. WJ up by a field goal. Patricic takes the handoff again, trying to stay with the big boys up front. Going to worm his way forward for four. Second down and six. Peduzzi and McCosko go left. Cernuto goes that way also. Raymond Holmes, the tight end right spot, the 5'10", 200-pounder out of Sarah Catholic. Now Cernuto resets behind the right tackle. Pugh rolls, avoids pressure, finds McCosko, catch is made, and he ducks under a high hit, and he is slow to get up again.
Led with the helmet over there. It's a big play.
Costco out to the 44, picked up five on the reception. And I've said this much of this second half, he is not nearly 100%.
No, he's not. He's toughing it out.
Third down and a yard to go. Costco wide, picked up by Jackson LaJoy. Peduzzi inside of him. Patricic runs left, got off first contact, and gets the first down.
Big, big run there.
Two-yard run for the Bentworth graduate. And there have been no bigger 2 yards today than what we just saw.
No, that was huge.
Presidents will, barring a turnover, be able to possess the ball through the end of the third quarter and maintain the lead. They do have to snap it here. McCosko and Peduzzi wide near side. Cernuto motions behind at the right tackle. Patricic takes the handoff running left, trying to go a little wide. Now turns it up the field, 50, and down at about the 48-yard line as the third quarter comes to an end. Owen Patricic with a 6-yard run to end the quarter. W&J 24, Carnegie Mellon 21 after 3, back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
This is Kevin Harlan from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. We'll have great matchups all season long on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. Join Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and me for one of the NFL's great traditions, Monday Night Football on Westwood One.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Unofficially, I have W&J at almost 300 yards. I have 298, 86 rush, 212 pass, 69 of that 86 by Owen Patricic on his 11 carries.
He just produces. I can't say anything other than that to be more emphatic than I can be. He produces. CMU has changed things.
Second down and four at the CMU 48-yard line. I have CMU, by the way, with the 243 total offense, 95 rushing unofficially. Second and four. Pugh on a fake, grabbed, and going to be swallowed up and cannot get free. Sacked for the first time today. First rushing loss this year for Jake Pugh. Well, now third down and eight.
That's a tough loss right there. Real tough loss.
Opening minute of the fourth quarter, W&J protecting a three-point lead. Third down and eight. Blitz coming. Picked up. Pugh sails it down the near sideline. McCosko can't get there. Gets hit high. And there is no flag.
I don't think there was, to be honest with you.
Okay.
W&J is going to need to make a big defensive play here. They have to stem the tide because right now CMU has the answers.
And here comes special teams once again. Devin Wyatt to punt. Ten men at the line for Carnegie Mellon. Wyatt gets the kick away. End over end will be driving back to the about the 10-yard line. And the tackle made at about the 12 on the return by Boyland. 42 on the punt, 3 on the run back.
Is that Ray Holmes on the tackle?
Yes. And Mark talked with Coach Sirianni about that in the pregame, about starters on special teams. And you got to have people make plays. You can change the game. 13:59 to play. W&J leading Carnegie Mellon 24-21. Final President's Athletic Conference meeting between the two. Mills with a play fake. Dump it down the middle. Wide open. Tight end released. And running up across the 40, the 45, and taken out of bounds.
They just got a good feel for what they're doing right now.
Matt Everett on the grab, and that just a little quick pop pass to the tight end for 36 yards and a first down. Mills to keep, got a block, got a hold actually, and got to the sideline across midfield.
It looks like that big offensive line is starting to wear W&J down.
Running play good for 9. Mills, who had gone backwards over his last 5 carries, had given up 25 yards, picks up 9 there. And the Tartans have it all going their direction right now. Bauma takes the direct snap, hands it off. Vasiliotis cuts it back, gets the first down to the President's 35.
They just have a good rhythm. They have it going. Their momentum is big right now.
Special teams have ruled the day. W&J with the 3 defensive takeaways in the first half, able to build a 24-5 lead. But it has been CMU special teams that have the Tartans back in this one, back to within 3. First and 10 at the J, 35-yard line. Mills hands off. Vasiliotis weaving his way forward for 4, maybe 5 through traffic.
They're getting 4 or 5 every play. They're just matriculating it down the field. And, of course, that big, big pass play early in this drive.
And 2 other big pass plays here in the second half, both for touchdowns, 84 and 36 yarders. Second down and 6, the J 31. 12:05 to play. 24-21 Presidents. widest of the receivers to the left, comes flying in motion. That's Boyland. Now he'll reset this way. Mills hands it off. Vasiliotis finds a seam forward for about five.
Less than a yard to get the first.
21 carries this afternoon for Trey Vasiliotis. Ball's at the President's 27-yard line. Carton's in no hurry. Tight end and wing right. Split end flanker left. Third down and about two. Now the wing, Everett motions. Mills on the quick slanted pass. It's caught. Tackle made immediately, but first down inside the 20-yard line.
Mills is playing a good game. He put that ball right where it needed to be.
That catch made by McCullough, another third down conversion. Ball at the President's 18-yard line. Very efficient work this afternoon for Mills. I have 9 of 15 for 193. Wildcat alignment. Bauma fakes the end around, dumps the ball off right at the feet of would-be receiver Everett. Incomplete. Bauma goes out now.
I guess that was to throw things off, but to me, Mills is hot right now. I'm not taking him out of the game.
Second and 10 at the WJ 18-yard line. Carnegie Mellon within field goal range. Should this drive stall out? McCullough motions back toward the formation. Second and 10, Vasiliotis. Got a seam and then got ran right up the back of one of his old linemen and got tackled from behind for a gain of two. Third down and eight at the WJ 16-yard line. Be 10 minutes left in the game by the time the Tartans snap the ball here. Third down and eight at the WJ 16-yard line. Mills on a pass incomplete. Both the receiver and the defender stopped, and the ball went right between them.
Right,
Makai Simmons had the best look at the ball,
yeah,
and McCullough pulled up because he thought he was going to get popped, it looked like.
Right through the wicket that went.
And now the fourth down situation, field goal attempt to tie the game.
Looks like about a 33-yarder.
Squibb to hold. Caputo to kick. Couple of safeties today for Carnegie Mellon. Good snap and hold. Pressure. Kick is blocked. Loose ball. Scramble for it. A flag is down as well. The referee threw a flag in. President's blocked the kick. They call running into the kicker. They blocked the kick. President's trying to get an explanation here. The president's blocked the field goal attempt and then get called for running into the kicker.
They're calling it.
And Mike Sirianni got to get an explanation here. And it is a 5-yard penalty. A referee, P.D. Harris II, trying to explain to Mike Sirianni. And it doesn't look like it's going to get anywhere.
I've never seen that before. Unless they're saying... I don't know what they're saying.
Well, they could be saying that they didn't block it and that the kick went into the line or something along those lines. But and then you still can't hit people. Or maybe the guy that blocked it isn't the guy that ran into the kicker or the holder.
WJ's offside.
Extra point kick up and good. There is no flags or the PAT or the field goal rather, And CMU getting the breaks here on special teams again, and this one coming from a ruling that I don't understand, but the game is now tied.
19 straight points for CMU.
9:37 to play, fourth quarter. WJ 24, Carnegie Mellon 24. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Don't fall behind on your home improvement projects. Let First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County help you with the heavy lifting before winter. First Federal gives you all the tools you need with FHA Title I Home Improvement, Home Equity, Construction, and Owner Builder Loans. With offices in Washington, Greene, and Fayette Counties, your loan stays here. Apply in person or anytime online at ffgc.bank. First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, and MLS 458729.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
CMU set to kick off, 9:37 to play. When these two teams went to the locker room at the half, it was W&J 24, Carnegie Mellon 5. It is now 24 all with 9.5 minutes left to play. Presidents have seen special teams haunt them this afternoon.
Oh, I'd say so. It's been in every, some of it's their fault, some of it's great plays, some of it's just happenstance. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Volpatti, fair catch on the kickoff. A lot of whistles blowing. Not really sure why. Pretty quick early indicator from Volpatti that he was not going to return the kick. The Presidents will take over at their own 25-yard line in desperate need of offense.
Oh, yes. Because it's going to be tough to stop CMU now.
Apparently, there's a flag somewhere. And
offside CMU.
So they'll make it first down at the 30-yard line instead of the 25.
And much as I've been saying, running the football at some point here, WJ's got to make a play in a pass game. Back to the two high safeties again.
First and 10, Presidents from the 30. Patricic with Pugh in the backfield. Low snap. Pugh hands it off. Patricic got a seam. 35 and after the 39-yard line, gain of 9.
He just gets right up in a hole and goes.
Well, Presidents clearly want to try to get CMU worried about that and then try to pop something off that look.
I'd stay on the ground right now.
Second down and one from the 39. Patricic again cuts to his left. First down, 5, 10, 15. Spinorama inside the 40 and ripped down finally at about the 35-yard line of CMU. +26 on that carry. Over 100 yards rushing on the afternoon.
Excellent job by the offensive line as well. There's no fooling around with Owen Patricic. He's up in there.
I have 13 carries for 104 for Owen Patricic. First and 10, Pugh throws it back far side on the screen. Paduzzi gets tripped up by really about the only guy that can stop him.
That might have went to the house. Good call.
Play to the CMU 28-yard line. That's
no, they moved it back a full yard.
Yeah, let's go fix something here I did. I didn't take Patricic far enough. Went to the 35 in this 7-yard pickup on the pass to Paduzzi. Pugh's pass left side open is Rosati inside the 20 and out of bounds with a first down. Now President's trying to go with a little bit of rhythm on that 10-yard pass play. And right to the football. First and 10 at the 18. Patricic made a man miss in the backfield. Going to turn something out of that nothing. Gains a couple. Well, at the 16, we'll call it a gain of two. Second down and about eight. 7:15 and counting, and a 24-all tie with at least a share of the President's Athletic Conference title on the line. And WJ is going to use a timeout. 7:06 remaining in the fourth. WJ 24, Carnegie Mellon 24. President's with the ball inside the CMU 20-yard line when we come right back.
This is Coach Guy Monacalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Well, certainly want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Ball at the 16-yard line right now. You can't take a sack.
No.
McCosco and Rosati to the top of the formation. Peduzzi and Seaman this way, and now Rosati motions to trips left. Movement by Peduzzi ahead of the snap. There is no excuse for a wide receiver moving ahead of the snap.
There's not. That's a tough one.
Ball out to the 21-yard line now. Well, you use a timeout and you come out and do that. That's
nobody's fault but Peduzzi's.
Concentration error.
Yeah, that's what it is. Two things happen now. You're behind the sticks, okay? And if you had to kick a field goal, that makes that a little bit tougher.
Yeah. I mean, especially with what we've already seen.
And it almost takes away the run here, too. So a lot of implications on that one.
Second and 13 now at the 21. Now the referee steps in and stops action. Not sure what this is about. Well, the President's come to the line of scrimmage and show their play. And one of the issues today, we cannot hear referee P.D. Harris at all. And I'm not sure anybody in the stands can hear him either. He is Mike, but... Well, President's skill guys this way. McCosco, Peduzzi, and Pugh coming to the near sideline. And Harris is trying to wave to get those three back out there. And again, a long delay with the President's at the line with no explanation.
For what?
Second and 13, W&J at the CMU 31-yard line. Six men coming. Yep. Pugh rolls away from it. Pugh trying to get to the sideline and is sacked.
Now the field goal's out of question. It's out of question.
Thomas Corey with the sack. A loss of three to the 24.
Well, one of the big boys got to make a play, guys. They have to.
And it appears that that whole delay was to put 1 second on the clock.
This is ridiculous.
Third down, 15. Pugh throws across the middle. Ball is caught inside the 15. The play going to get to about the 11-yard line. short of the first down, but the catch by Seaman, his first target of the day.
Now, this is special teams.
In tight field goal again. The last time the Presidents did not protect Wyatt from the left side.
And it's on the left hash mark as well, if that matters.
5:45 to play in regulation. Devin Wyatt for a field goal. Pressure right up the middle, and this kick is blocked.
They're just outplaying.
Special teams are just outplaying CMU versus W&J.
They did the same thing. They ran into the kicker.
5:39 to play, and it's going to be CMU ball now. The second block kick of the half.
Somebody got to make a big play, Bob, or big trouble coming. And I would look for the tight end.
.539 remaining. 24 all tie. CMU with the ball at its own 20-yard line. Vasiliotis trying to run left, hit at the line of scrimmage, gets a yard, maybe two. Just the incredible number of special teams plays today, and nearly all of them have gone in CMU's favor.
I'm surprised Cokie's not on the field.
Second down and eight from the 22. Snaps on the ground.
Boy, they're holding by shirt.
Ball underthrown, I mean, and almost intercepted. And there is a flag down at the 15.
He had Dawson Dietz's entire shirt. You have to call that.
Carson Laconi went up and nearly picked it off, but then comes down hard on his lower back and is shaken up. Now, do you go second and 18 or back him up?
You got to give him the extra play. I'm sorry.
The holding penalty will back the ball up. Take it from the 22 back to the 12. Carson Laconi gets to his feet and gets off the field. Third penalty of the second half against Carnegie Mellon, fourth of the game.
Now, you do not want to give them a third down with legit shot here.
So it's second and 18 now from the 12.
Right. But you want to make a play here if you can.
Two receivers each way with a single running back. And now that... slot is Everett motions one way. Now the inside slot left. McCullough comes in motion. Mills to put it up. Man is open. Flag down in the backfield.
They can't contain him. They're having a hard time with Dawson Dietz. That's another holding penalty.
Holding.
Absolutely.
The down marker moving for some reason.
Yeah, well, I don't know why he's doing that.
The completion got out to about the 21. And the Presidents, do you take this play?
I'm taking it.
Yeah, you got to go from the 12 back from there, holding again. This will take it back to the 6. Completion was to Voiland, I believe.
You got one more to go.
Wipe that out.
Well, he doesn't get any tackles for this, but Dawson Dietz is taking control right now up in front.
Did Laconi get back on the field
He's
now?
He's back out now, yes.
Okay. Second down and 24 now for the Tartans. 4:50 to play in the game. Vasiliotis takes the handoff, running left, hit shy of the 10, and stopped right at the 10-yard line.
It's a big play here now.
4-yard run for Vasiliotis.
Interesting. They moved Dawson Dietz out a little bit there. They recognized what they set and what they were probably going to do.
4.5 minutes left in the game.
Now, look, they're probably going to throw the ball. But, boy, they better be real careful. I mean, Jay's short a player.
Yeah, they have 11 now.
No, they have
They're 11. Third down and 20 for the Tartans. Empty backfield. Mills rolls near side. Throws the ball on a sideline. Incomplete. McConey got his hands on Kuhlke, but incidental, and it's fourth down.
Marcus Harrell and Dawson Dietz with pressure. Well, special teams haven't been real good to W&J today, but.
Yeah, if possible, Volpatti has to field this, or excuse me, Rosati has to field this punt.
And I don't know if he's back far enough, to be honest with you.
Line of scrimmage is the 10. He's 35 yards up the field. Mills, very deliberate, gets the kick away and booms it. Rosati makes the fair catch back at his own 47-yard line. 3:54 to play in the game. 24-all tie. Presidents with the ball in hand. And got to find some offense. Another outstanding punt by Ben Mills.
Yeah, he's done a great job. They have the offense. They got to quit shooting themselves in the foot here.
Line of scrimmage will be the president's 48. That's a 42-yard punt with a fair catch. We have the presidents with 20 first downs on the afternoon. Carnegie Mellon unofficially with 13. But also several huge plays, including the 84-yard touchdown pass and the two blocked field goals, the two safeties. First and 10, Presidents. Owen Patricic, single back with Pugh. Patricic gets the handoff, hit in the backfield. Does not get back to the line.
Nothing there.
Second down and 12.
I think one first down is absolutely needed. Take time off the clock.
Both teams 3-0 in the conference, sharing the lead with Case Western, Grove City, and Westminster, all unbeaten coming into action today. Waynesburg wins its first of the year, beating St. Vincent earlier 21-7. Grove City will play tonight at home against Allegheny. Second and 12, and everybody goes but the center.
Man, this is bad.
And just have not come out well from really in the second half.
No.
Five penalties after intermission.
I don't think they had any at halftime.
One, the illegal motion early.
Okay. All right.
So now it's second and 17. 3 minutes to play in the game. And that first down is getting harder and harder to pick up. Pugh runs away from pressure, rolls right, tries to keep the play alive, throws the ball downfield. It's incomplete. Tried to get that pass, I think, to Seaman, actually.
That was a really tough pass to complete. He'd have been better off to run that.
And now third and 17, and the clock stopped with the incompletion. W&J has not scored after intermission, led 24-5. It's now 24-all, third and 17. Pugh in trouble. Rolls right, going to get sacked, and throws an interception. There's a flag down in the offensive backfield. Now the question is, was the interceptor inbounds? Two officials are talking it over. Incomplete. And it's going to be ruled incomplete, but the president's almost certainly guilty of a hold here. Just as...
I'd almost take this if I was CMU.
No.
Nope.
Hey, you're going to get the ball right now on 4th and 17. The Presidents have just not done a very good job in the second half with things not buttoned up.
Not at all.
And now Wyatt to punt.
They're going to get good field position here.
Well, yeah, and this is almost a situation you don't expect CMU to come to try to block it, I don't think. At least not all-out block.
Oh, I don't know.
Wyatt gets a good snap and gets a kick away. It's going to hit at about the 24 and almost plug and will roll dead at about the 22-yard line with 2.5 minutes left in the ball game. 37 on the punt, no return. And CMU with a chance to come back after a huge hole at the half and dominate the second half, particularly on special teams.
Yeah, they surely have. And first down here is going to be a big play. I would think they're going to try to run it here.
2:33 remaining.
But they sure don't look like they're in a formation to run it, that's for sure.
It's going to have to be an end around if they do, or a quarterback keeper. And here comes the end. Johnson in motion, putting four receivers to the right. Mills on the quarterback draw, gets to the 25, pickup of about six. Now check that. Picks up about four. My apologies. Gets out to the 26-yard line.
They don't want to use much clock either. They don't want W&J getting the ball back in any way.
As we hit 2 minutes remaining in regulation, we get the two-minute timeout. W&J and Carnegie Mellon tied at 24.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Nowadays, personal care homes aren't like what they used to be 15 years ago. They were called homes. And once you went there, you didn't come back. Our goal is to take care of your loved one, provide skilled occupational therapy, physical therapy, get them doing the best that they can do. And it's always an option to go home if it's appropriate. You can get all your services completed, home health, hospice, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech. We can do it all in-house. Evergreen's able to provide a well-staffed, above-staffed environment with highly educated, highly trained staff. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Rich Eisen here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long as we get you ready for primetime NFL action every Monday night. Along with Kevin Harlan, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner, and the entire Westwood One team, we'll take you inside the locker rooms and the stadiums for exclusive previews and all the play-by-play action. Every week on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
W&J with 24 points in the first half. Carnegie Mellon with 19 in the second. And both teams with 2 minutes to play in the game, a 24-point total. Advantage CMU here. Tartans have the ball and three timeouts remaining. Kuhlke wide out to the near side. The sophomore out of Hinsdale, Illinois, has been a favorite second-half target for Ben Mills. Second down and six from the 26. And looking for Kuhlke. Ball thrown inside and ripped out of his hands. Incomplete. Laconi breaking up the pass. If Laconi realized that ball's coming, he could turn right around and pick it maybe.
He's got it full attention on Pakuli.
Third down and six. Clock stop with the incompletion. Two wideouts this way.
Nice
Mills
call.
Rolls to the right and will run with it. And pushed out of bounds. Eventually stepped out at about the 41-yard line.
That's a nice call.
And that'll stop the clock with 1:49 remaining. 15-yard scramble for Ben Mills, 50 yards on his 12 rushes today. Pass play near side. Kulke trying to get by Laconi, and the ball incomplete. Laconi never looked back for the ball. He is slow to get up, and he is fortunate that that he kept his hands off the receiver, and he's going to come out of the game. Pretty clear here late in the ball game what Ben Mills wants, and that is Reese Kulke.
Oh, yes. Watch number six.
Everett with a big catch earlier in the game. Second down and 10. Clock stop with the incompletion. Blitz coming. Picked up. Mills gets rid of it and overthrows his target, Kulke. Kasparak on the coverage for W&J. Third and 10. Ball at the CMU 41-yard line. Kulke now going wide to the CMU side. Two receivers come wide this way. Third down and 10 with a minute 38 to play and a 24-all tie. Vasiliotis takes the handoff, tripped up after a gain of about four. It'll bring up fourth down.
No, not yet.
President's. President's coach is checking with the Coach Sirianni. Are they going to take a timeout? And it doesn't look like either team is going to. You're the one, partner, who's talked about overtime at halftime. Yeah. when we had Pat here.
Oh, yes. I don't think Rosati's deep enough.
No, he had to backpedal on the last punt. Mills to punt. It's the kick away, and he kicks it away from Rosati, and it's going to hit inside the 15 and bounce to the sideline and go out right there with 46 seconds to play. That's a 40-yard punt. Ben Mills, forget his 50 yards rushing and 193 yards passing. He's the player of the game today for his punting.
No question. When you add it all up, he certainly is.
And now CMU with three timeouts. W&J can't just kneel it down and go to overtime.
No.
And having already had trouble in special situations.
W&J needs a first down.
Indeed. First and 10 at the 15. Few hands off to Patricic, trying to bounce it outside. Flag down in the backfield. Face mask, possibly. Umpire coming in, Brad DeMarkey.
It's on CMU.
Hands to the face against the defense. Presidents will get out to the 30-yard line. Actually, they'll get the benefit of the 1-yard Patricic run as well. And the penalty first down. First and 10 at the 31, 35 seconds to play. Patricia gets the handoff, cuts back to his right, gave up a little ground, and now just looking for a place to move forward, and he's going to end up with a gain of a couple. And W&J not using a timeout, and neither is CMU.
I think we're going to overtime, boys. I might try one play here. Nope, W&J's going to OT.
And we'll step aside. When we come back, we'll run down the overtime situation. These two playing for the last time in the conference in 60 minutes, just not enough. We'll take a look at all of them when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
Don't fall behind on your home improvement projects. Let First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County help you with the heavy lifting before winter. First Federal gives you all the tools you need with FHA Title I home improvement, home equity, construction, and owner-builder loans. With offices in Washington, Greene, and Fayette counties, your loan stays here. Apply in person or anytime online at ffgc.bank. First Federal Savings and Loan of Greene County, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, and MLS 458729.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
We're going to have a captain's gathering. We're going to have a coin flip, and then we're going to have some choices made. Offense, defense, which end of the field do you want to play at?
You want to turn the lights on.
I'm good with the lights coming on. Here's in a tie game, 24-all. Total offense, I have separated by about 16 yards. I have W&J at 359, Carnegie Mellon at 343 unofficially. Both teams rushing for over 100 yards. W&J passing for 240, CMU unofficially at 193. Tartans turned it over three times in the first half, W&J once. Neither team with a turnover in the second half, but Carnegie Mellon blocked two W&J second half field goal attempts.
That's the story of the game, special teams. I think one of the things Coach Sirianni wanted to do, get a little bit of field position. You know you're going to get field position in OT. So I'm serious. I mean, he probably didn't think they could score here, so why take any chances?
Yep. And your field position is going to be first and 10 at the 25-yard line.
That's what I mean.
And then... Now we get into those crazy rules where you just run two-point plays, right? After a couple of overtimes?
Yes, indeed.
Referee P.D. Harris, the second meeting with the captains, just talking about how this will all work. It will be first and 10 at the 25-yard line. W&J's offense, after the second blocked field goal, has really just kind of died off. In this second half, they had the first drive move from their own 25, and first and goal at the CMU 10, but a holding penalty. That field goal blocked. W&J gave up a safety with an end zone holding penalty. A couple of first downs, and then ended up having to punt. Then a field goal blocked, another punt, and then the half ran out. CMU appears to have won the toss. I think they elected to play defense first, so you know what you're doing. And the W&J offense is going to be on the field, first and 10 at the 25. Here we go. Overtime number one.
I know that chart I made early in the week. You got to have to add another one now.
Chart was the
greatest games.
Greatest games in the history of this rivalry. And now the president's offense is has got to step up. They got to get it done.
No losses of yardage. No penalties. Got to go forward.
First and 10 at the CMU 25-yard line. Cernuto motions. Patricic takes the handoff. Fumbles the football, scramble for the loose pigskin. The Presidents get it back.
Oh, boy.
And they end up with a gain of about a yard and a half.
Oh, boy.
CMU player shaken up. And this looks to be an arm issue.
That's Bropes, Caleb Bropes, nose tackle.
It is the defensive lineman out of McDowell. near disaster for the Presidents. In field goal range already.
Yep.
Almost gave the ball up. President's offense stay here on the near sideline. One of the things that you talked about, John, and I think Jay did it really well in the first half and not very well in the second, and that is don't play to not lose.
And certainly.
I think that's what's happened here in the second half. You got a 24-5 lead. You come out and
You can go back to the drive where they drove down and didn't get any points. That was a backbreaker.
Oh, sure. And then CMU comes out and on second down gets an 84-yard touchdown pass.
I mean, that just turns the game right there. No, I think you got to throw it.
Second down and 9, the CMU 24. Four-man front for the Tartans. Pugh slips out of contact. Pass is incomplete inside the 20. Jarred out of the hands of Jake McCosco. And Pugh was fortunate to be able to throw that ball.
Yeah, he was.
Now third and 9.
You got it. Can't lose any ground here. If Jake feels any pressure, he's got to throw it away.
You
have to be at least able to try the field goal.
I mean, you're 41 yards right now. If you have to try a field goal. Third down blitz coming. Pugh dumps the ball off. It's caught. Patricic made a man miss. Got inside the 25 and down at the 19. It's fourth down.
Well, this hasn't worked real well today, but we'll see. There's no other choice. Back on the left hash again.
Field goal. This is a 36-yard effort. Two already blocked today. Good snap. Good hold. The kick beats the rush, and it's good. Devin Wyant boots home a 36-yard field goal. WNJ's first point since late in the first half. 27-24 Presidents.
I'd look for number 11 right off the top.
And now the Tartans will have the ball at the 25.
Well, if you're looking for big plays, 58, 21, 2.
Tartans first and 10. Near side, Reese Kuhlke picked up in single coverage. Slot man motions. Mills to put it up, pulls it down, jump pass is caught. Everett at the 20, down at the 19. Gonna spot him right at the 20, so 5 yards on the completion.
Twins.
Second down and 5 at the WNJ 20. CMU's first overtime possession. Mills rolls to his right.
Oh, he's wide open.
Pass play, touchdown, Kuhlke. CMU wins it. W&J for just the 6th time in 152 games leading at the half comes up on the wrong end of the score. Carnegie Mellon 30, W&J 27 in overtime. We'll recap it for you when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
This is Coach Guy Montecalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Typically, it's the resident's son or daughter that start the process. They may come to us and they may take a tour by themselves first before mom and dad knows. That's a very intricate transition, as you know, moving your loved one from their house to a personal care home. We treat everyone like family. We have caregivers who take care of the frontline bathing and hygiene, med techs who pass the medications, and we have supervisors that oversee both of those areas, as well as a resident coordinator and a chef in each building. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Back at Cameron Stadium, where Carnegie Mellon will celebrate a fifth consecutive win against Washington and Jefferson and stay unbeaten in league play. W&J suffers its first loss of the season. Talk about Reese Kulke. Had eight catches through the first three games. He has five today for 162 yards and three touchdowns.
Well, he just was the man. I mean, WJ could not cover him. Okay, let's be honest here. They could not cover him. And the thing that we worried about before the season was the secondary. And CMU's not known for really throwing it all around. And they find him. And great. That was just a great call on second down for CMU.
And the touchdown pass in overtime gives Carnegie Mellon the win 30-27. But, you know, you just go back and look at all of those special teams situations here this afternoon, and all of them stack up in CMU's favor, after another.
Absolutely won the game with special teams in the second half. I mean, that's just the way it is. Look, you said something to me in the second half after one of my things was, don't play to lose. I don't think W&J played to really win in the second half. Everything was – now, again, it goes back to the no points on the long drive. That was a wonderful drive. No points there, and then they get a big play right after that. That turned the game. You got to give CMU credit. They were in deep trouble at halftime. I mean, you really do. It's a great football team.
And they've won now 11 straight games. The Tartans with the win here today, 11 straight overall, 5 in a row against W&J. I remember before that streak started, the Presents were in a position with, if they could have pulled off two straight wins, would have pulled even in the all-time mark with Carnegie Mellon. But that has not happened. 73rd all-time meeting goes to CMU in a 30-27 victory. John, certainly appreciate your work here today. And
it was a fun week, Bob.
It was indeed.
Great football game, too. I mean, you and I both have a certain way we feel about this whole series, but CMU deserved to win the game. They really did.
Indeed. They got up off the mat at the half, trailing 24-5, and really controlled what happened in the second half and then won the game with their special teams play. Forced two safeties, two block punts, or block field goals in the second half as well. And W&J, after a while, defensively just got worn down by that big O-line.
I think so. I think so. And they got worn down mentally by just all the special teams things that went against them. It's the way it goes. Now, look, here's the thing. They got to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, and because you're going to a place next week that's not the easiest place in the world to win. You got to win that game, and you got to keep yourself alive. There's a lot of football games left. I still don't think anybody's going into undefeated here. I really don't. So this is a really difficult loss for W&J. There's a lot of what-ifs, but CMU outplayed them in the second half, and that was enough.
Coverage today brought to you in part by Evergreen Personal Care Homes in Washington, Waynesburg, and Morgantown. Check them out online, evergreenassisted.com. By Washington Financial Bank for 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. By the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, celebrating our region's rich athletic tradition. By attorney John Patricic, nearly 30 years of experience gives your case the attention it deserves. And by First Federal Savings and Loan of Green County, celebrating 100 years, people you know, people you can trust. Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios. Well, thanks to all the folks here at Cameron Stadium, to John Luckhart, to Pat Agner, our pregame or halftime guest as well, and to my broadcast partner, John Sacco. For all of us at WJPA Sports, I'm Bob Gregg. Your final score, Carnegie Mellon 30, Washington and Jefferson 27 in overtime. This has been a presentation of the WJPA Sports Network.